Give Renovations a call at 831-620-1700 or visit Renovations on their website at renovations.net. Thank you for giving me part of your day. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to because tomorrow really matters. Tell a friend. And stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Pope Benedict is at Catholic University in Washington, meeting with church school educators from around the nation, talking policy and doctrine. Short while ago, Pope Benedict met privately with some of the sexual abuse victims of pedophile priests. Live now to Washington on the Pope's busy day, CBS's Dan Raviv.
I wish to make a special appeal.
The Pope just concluded a speech on education, urging priests to be teachers.
Renew your commitment to schools, especially those in poorer areas.
Just after his Vatican spokesman revealed that Pope Benedict had a private meeting today with five Catholics who'd been abused as children by priests. They're from Boston. The Pope told them he's praying for them. And in public at this morning's Mass in the new baseball stadium, Benedict told 46,000 worshipers the pain and harm are beyond words. Harley?
Reaction from the survivors' network of those abused by priests.
Talk is good. Face-to-face meeting is better. Real reform is, of course, best of all, and that's what we certainly hope this meeting will lead to.
That's the director, David Clossy. This is one of the core questions of the polygamist case in Texas.
If there's one instance of sexual abuse in a community, do you take away the children of the entire community?
Rodney Parker, speaking for the families, thinks not. But that does seem to be the position the state of Texas is taking, with its stated intent to break up those families and put all 400-plus of those children in foster care. There's a new plan on the table at Capitol Hill to make affordable government-backed loans available to homeowners with adjustable mortgages. $300 billion would be made available for those loans, and the lenders, we're told, would agree to eat some of the debt. Brain injuries, concussion, a bullet in the head that doesn't kill, post-traumatic stress, deep depression. All are coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan, too.
A RAND Corporation study says many returning from Iraq and Afghanistan are troubled.
Our study finds serious prevalence of post-traumatic stress disorder and depression of the 1.6 million troops who have served, about 18.5%.
And Terry Tenelian says many don't get treatment.
Half of these veterans with this need for care are not seeking help.
Pentagon psychiatrist Lori Sutton says most fear harming their careers. Her response?
Chances are something will go awry with your career because bad news and difficulties and conflicts don't necessarily get better on their own.
Hundreds of thousands are at risk. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
At the White House today, both President Bush and British Prime Minister Gordon Brown talked about the strong historic relationship, and they both rejected Iran's claims that its huge nuclear enrichment program is just for civilian energy. President Bush said it would be naive to buy that. On Wall Street, the Dow gained a point, NASDAQ lost eight. Oil prices still up near $115 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Are we into the Olympics? Are you kidding? This is America. We high-five after meetings. We applaud when delayed planes land. We clap at the end of movies. I never got that, but anyway, you better believe we're going to go nuts for our Olympic athletes. Get U.S. Olympic Team Banking, only at Bank of America. You'll get the U.S. Olympic Team logo on your checks, check card, credit card, and statements. And we'll make a donation to the team with every check card or credit card purchase you make. Plus, with your U.S. Olympic Team Visa Rewards credit card, you'll earn points for cash, airline tickets, and cool Olympic merchandise. So go ahead and cheer when the fire department gets a cat out of a tree. Or some guy eats 37 hot dogs at the county fair. Let's show the Olympic team the same kind of spirit. This is America. Don't you belong at Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Member FDIC.
The Democrats' campaign ads in Pennsylvania have been growing some teeth.
attacks are picking up here in these final campaign days, while Hillary Clinton promotes herself as a fighter against
the oil companies, predatory student loan companies, the insurance companies, and the drug companies.
Barack Obama's ads accuse her of taking the most lobbyist money of any candidate.
Obama's the only candidate who doesn't take a dime from oil company PACs or lobbyists.
She portrays him as an elitist. He's accusing her of dividing and distracting. Barry Bagnotto, CBS News, Philadelphia.
Maybe Selfridge will start putting knockoffs in the display windows. Two robbers armed with hammers smashed the display cases in the Selfridge watch store in Manchester, England, got away with watches worth $1.4 million. A Harvey Nichols store was hit at the same time, same mall, by men wearing motorcycle helmets, also with hammers. 300,000 in watches taken. And all of them got into the same getaway car. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Ooh, new toy.
Watch this.
What is this?
This is a screw guide.
Uh-huh.
You put it on top, slide
right.
This over like that.
Then you know.
Punch it down.
Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah.
90-degree angle. Don't blink. What are we building today, huh?
Yeah.
It's time to put the power back in your tool collection. Right now at the Home Depot, save $30 to $400 instantly on select power tools from all our top brands. Buy more, save more. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through 4/30 and U.S. only on power tool purchases of $149 or more. See store for details.
Guys, if you want to be your best, you've got to train hard. But if you want to look your best, just head to Van Heusen Week at the men's store inside JCPenney. Stop in to find a great selection and the lowest prices of the season. 50% off all Van Heusen sports shirts and knit tops. 50% off Van Heusen big and tall sports shirts. You'll even get Van Heusen dress shirts and ties for only $19.99. It's like a workout for your wardrobe. The men's store inside JCPenney is a smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Bitterness.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yes, the B stands for bitter. Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. On today's program, we've got a lot to talk about, much to explore, including Barack Obama's deep connections to the weather underground. Yes, he was the 8-year-old provocateur. In a moment, Faz Shakir will join us from the Center for American Progress. Later this hour, we're going to talk about net neutrality. That's where, you know, man, like, you're on your internet, and something that comes from a corporate source downloads like that, and something comes from an independent blogger in Indiana or something, takes 4 days to come down. That's the simple explanation. Next hour, Scott Dick, who explains military acronyms and military thinking to a guy like me, because he served in the Marine Corps and the Army. Major Dick will be with us next hour. We'll talk about those Iraqi deserters, some of whom were fired, and some other deserters in Sadr City. And there's lots more to talk about. Did Secretary of Defense Gates, in an April 10th hearing, suggest that our problems in Afghanistan are blowback from the 1980s? Well, he kind of did. We're going to explore that. Also on today's program, Melanie Sloan checks in from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And we're also going to take a lot of your phone calls about the debate, what could be the final Obama-Clinton debate that occurred in Philadelphia last night. I think ABC did a shameful job. I think it was insulting to most Americans, and we'll talk about that in just a second. You can join this conversation anytime, including right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. And I want to welcome some brand new listeners in Seattle, Washington. We've doubled your pleasure on the weekends there. This broadcast today will be heard on Saturday night from 7 to 10 on AM 1090 KPTK. And you'll also be able to hear our program tomorrow on Sunday evening in Seattle, 9 to midnight. So we're growing a little bit here and there, and delighted to be talking to more people in the Great Northwest. Our program today, sponsored by Polypoint Press and John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising, all about Reverend Moon and the propaganda sheet called the Washington Times. Visit the website, thekingofamerica.com, thekingofamerica.com, and watch a video there. It's about 15 minutes long and quite an eye-opener. You'll laugh and you'll gasp. Maybe not in that order. Faz Shakir is Research Director at the Center for American Progress, and he's co-editor of Think Progress. That's their blog and update site, and also their daily e-newsletter, or whatever you want to call it, a memorandum called The Progress Report. Faz, how are you today?
I'm fine, Peter. How you doing?
Not too bad. Before we get down to business, I understand that you're looking for some interns to join you on The Progress Report this summer.
Oh, we always are. It's one of our great pleasures is we've often had some really enthusiastic and energetic interns, and they get a great experience. As you know, the type of products we do and the pace at which we work, I think it's pretty exhilarating.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to spend the summer in Washington where the humidity gets up to 140%, it's a great way to get
Don't
involved.
Don't make it too enticing.
Well, but you have air conditioning.
There we do, yeah.
And a beautiful atrium building. So
yeah, and a nice new National Ballpark.
That's true, too, for sports fans. And I just noticed that your former colleague, Nico Pitney, is now Washington poobah for the Huffington Post.
Yeah, he's actually been there now for 6 or 7 months, or actually a year.
Really?
He left here in the middle of last year, and he took over the editorialship of their news division over there at the Huffington Post.
Great. Well, I missed that press release, but I just found, in fact, he published a piece, the quoted Bill Clinton back in 1992 talking about bitter white voters. So that was an interesting little piece of research.
Yeah.
So, Faz, first of all, I need to disclose that Brian Urban, who is our call screener and assistant producer on duty today, is a family friend of William Ayers and his wife and son, who live in Chicago. And the families have known each other since back in the protest days of the 1960s. So we had more than passing interest when the Sean Hannity planted question popped up on the Philadelphia debate broadcast on ABC television last night. And I don't know about you, but it was really offensive to me to see the kind of tactics that were once employed by Senator Joseph McCarthy used on Senator Obama here. And
yeah,
you wrote a great piece that's at Think Progress. I want people to go check it out, including some audio clips. Tell me what your reaction was when you heard this question popped.
Well, when we heard the question, it was an amazing line. I mean, you can't just look at just the Ayers thing, which in itself is surprising and shocking that, as a noted conservative said today on TV, he was saying even Bill O'Reilly wouldn't have asked that question. So the fact that ABC News is, trying to show conservative credentials or something by asking about that was in itself interesting. But then you look at the attacks on Obama's patriotism, the flag, Penn, Jeremiah Wright controversy, bitter, and you throw it all together, and it's like, what is going on here for the first hour of a presidential debate where there are serious issues at play and so many crises in the world and here at home to deal with? So that was amazing. And then afterwards, there was so much anger about how ABC conducted this debate that a lot of people took to the blog and started to investigate and figure out what the heck was going on. And one of the most interesting threads discovered here is that George Stephanopoulos was on Sean Hannity's radio show the day before the debate. And on that radio show, Sean Hannity asked George Stephanopoulos point blank, will you ask about the weather underground and Barack Obama's connections to them? And Stephanopoulos' response was, well, I'm taking notes and I'll ask him. And we posted that audio today, and you can check it out, and it's disturbing that we now have legitimate anchors taking their talking points from right-wing outlets like Sean Hannity.
Well, let's take a moment here to, I think I got the clip here. Let's see if I can play it, and we'll let people hear it for themselves.
I don't think anybody has asked Barack Obama, and I don't know if this is going to be on your list tomorrow. One is his, the only time he's ever been asked about his association with Bill Ayers, the unrepentant terrorist from the Weather Underground, who on 9/11 of all days in the New York Times was saying, "I don't regret setting bombs. I don't think we did enough." When asked about it by the Politico, David Axelrod said they have a friendly relationship and that they had done a number of speeches together and that they sat on a board together. Is that a question you might ask?
Well, I'm taking notes right now.
What a happy camper Stephanopoulos is. That's a tough recording, but I think most people could hear it. And there is a transcript at thinkprogress.org if you'd like to read it. And the clip is there, and you can turn it up and play it for yourself. So this is a kind of connection. I'll even use the word collusion. But for Sean Hannity from a rival television network to be feeding questions to George Stephanopoulos, who I believe, you know, he's a former White House staffer for the Clintons, and I don't accuse him of currently trying to offer favoritism to the Clinton campaign. But this question is so far out of bounds, is guilt by association, and Obama responded properly to it with his comment of saying, "Well, I count Bill Coburn, the conservative senator from Oklahoma, as a friend, and should I apologize for his advocacy that abortionists should be subject to capital punishment?" I thought that was an excellent response. A little more outrage from Obama would have been appropriate, but I just was so angry watching this, Faz, and the story that I wanted to hear about was something that would have been in the self-interest of ABC and the self-promotion. They broke the story last week about the Principals Committee approving torture techniques, and they also broke the story that Bush acknowledged that he knew what the Principals Committee was doing, and he approved it. And there was not one moment devoted to a discussion of that important issue.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought that the way Obama handled it was very, very nice. I mean, as you said, he could have shown more emotion, but he was trying to make a point about the level of our political discourse today. And all Stephanopoulos did was prove Obama's point, that we are delving into the ridiculous and the absurd, and that the media is leading the way into that nonsense. And so I thought that he handled that well. I also wanted to make another point that on WOR Radio's Steve Malzberg. Have you heard of him?
Only from Keith Olbermann last night.
Right. So Steve Malzberg is a conservative talk show host, and he was speaking with Stephanopoulos on his radio show, and he also said that that Stephanopoulos should ask about the Weather Underground. And Stephanopoulos responded, "It's a damn good question," mm-hmm. quote unquote. And so that also seems to have greatly influenced Stephanopoulos. Like you, I don't think that. You know, I think what was going on here is that Stephanopoulos was trying to show that he was, quote, an unbiased host, right, given his affiliations in the past.
But Faz, all we have to do is zoom out a couple of frames here and go back a couple of weeks to Limbaugh's call for Operation Chaos. And the Republicans are playing games to try to keep Hillary Clinton in the competition here, in the primary, and they would rather run against her than Barack Obama. And this is something that goes beyond the legal meddling of urging Ohio and Texas voters to change their registration. This goes beyond just somebody like Rush Limbaugh wishing that Clinton is the opponent and not Obama. I believe that they are actively working to keep Obama as the front runner under control and on the defensive. And as the debate was spun last night, "Oh, he was so defensive." Well, God, they didn't give him, they offered him no other role.
Right. Well, you just have to fend off these questions being launched at you on the firing line for 40 minutes. Yes, that's what it's going to look like to everybody, that you're on the defensive. I think the other point here is, how are they doing this, Peter? The strategy that the right is using is to turn and twist the media, is to get the mainstream media to play along,
yeah,
and to shame them into asking these ridiculous questions. And unfortunately, they look like they're being effective and influential.
Right. And I urge people to go to BorowitzReport.com for Andy's take on the debate. He basically says that Charlie Gibson beat George Stephanopoulos with more gotcha questions. We're going to take a break and return with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Log on to thinkprogress.org or sign up for the Daily Blast from theprogressreport.org. No the in front of it. Sorry to confuse you. Progressreport.org. More in a moment. Your calls are welcome to 888-5-PETER-B. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Rocking the night, walking on air.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. That's Billy Squire. I haven't heard that one in years. Coming up about 10 minutes from now, we'll talk about the Net Neutrality Conference. It's an FCC hearing, Federal Communications Commission hearing, underway at Stanford University. And we'll get a report from our colleague at Free Press, Josh Silver, just a few minutes away. Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. Take no insult, Faz, but you went long on George W. Bush's pronouncements yesterday about the U.S. policies to rein in global warming. And frankly, there's nothing there. He offered a meaningless proposal, no teeth to it. He tries to leave a legacy of his standards for dealing with climate change. And frankly, you know, the Pope's visit was more interesting. You still there, Faz?
Yep, I'm still here. Sorry about that. I agree with you. I think that there's one question still outstanding, which is interesting, I think, to discuss, which is why he did it. And I think the obvious answer is a little bit about his legacy and wanting to go out claiming that he did something. But I think there's actually something more there,
okay,
which is that he's trying to reshape the debate and cover John McCain's back. So we all know that the Bush administration has been tight with the right wing on the issue of climate change, mostly because they've denied it, and the right wing loves it. And they understand they have a problem now with John McCain running for president, because he's somebody who's got quite a bit of distance on this issue. Even though he doesn't have all the right solutions,
mm-hmm,
he's in a different place. He believes that there is such a thing as global warming, which is heresy to the right wing.
Yeah.
So the White House, I believe, is coming in and trying to cover his flank and create the space and try to bring some people along so that McCain doesn't feel the blowback of his position. I think that's actually what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. And I think McCain's solution really is to bring more lobbyists on board who can help him get in sync with the resource extractors and those who contribute most to the CO2 emissions. Faz, while we're talking about McCain, two items in the progress report today, one about his opposition to the GI Bill. It makes absolutely no sense. And the other is he kind of got caught by saying that he wants to wipe out earmarks. And this is something I did not know, that the $3 billion a year that we provide in unrestricted aid to Israel is managed through earmarks. That's not in a bill. That's not an appropriations package.
Well, the problem is who defines earmarks. And under a Congressional Research Service report, they identified extracurriculars in the Foreign Appropriations Bill, and the extracurriculars was actually funding to Israel, which was attached as an amendment, as a pork barrel or earmark amendment. And under one definition of earmark, which the Congressional Research Service used, that would qualify as earmark spending.
Well, we've been paying them $3 billion a year since Carter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's been going up, actually, quite a bit under Bush. But
How much is it now?
Well, now it's $3 billion. It's actually gone up to $3
billion. I see. Okay.
But yeah, and under John McCain, which was the question that we posed to him, is he willing to ban all foreign aid to Israel?
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to talk up his earmarks pledge, let's see it, because even his campaign has cited the Congressional Research Service analysis as being the foundation for what he wants to do as president,
mm-hmm,
when he bans earmarks. And of course, they came back at us last night saying, "Well, Israel is actually accepted from our earmarks plan." So we went down the list and said, okay, well, military family housing is on the list. Are
mm-hmm.
you going to eliminate that? Are you going to eliminate funding, foreign aid to Egypt, Haiti, Jordan? You know, you name it. They're all on there.
Well, he's got some backpedaling to do, I guess. Now, John Soltz and the Vote Vets people have been terrific. They've lined up 50-plus co-sponsors for this new GI Bill. And John McCain says that it would make it too attractive to leave the military?
Yeah, that's exactly what McCain's concern with the GI Bill apparently is that they're going to lose reenlistment or retention, actually. They're going to lose retention because all the soldiers are going to go take these wonderful education benefits, so therefore we shouldn't give it to them. That's the solution from John McCain.
Wow.
That's how you show your love for the troops.
He's the veteran left standing in this campaign. Oh, wow. Well, thank you, Faz. Always a pleasure to get updates from you, and you take care. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter. You too.
Faz Shakir, Center for American Progress, thinkprogress.org, progressreport.org. We'll talk net neutrality next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab a podcast, share it with a friend. Link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Their unique perspective helps them see domestic and international markets in a different light. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. Did you imagine that we've been cutting down on those greenhouse gas emissions at least a little bit? Well, we haven't. In fact, they've been increasing. And now President Bush has set a timetable for letting it continue to increase for the next 17 years. And then, at that point,
to stop the growth of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions by 2025.
Not good enough, says the Union of Concerned Scientists, Peter Frumhoff.
He's calling for us to stabilize our growth in emissions by 2025, when in fact what the science tells us is that we need to dramatically reduce our emissions of carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping gases in order to avoid truly dangerous climate change.
More after this.
Advil presents Relief from April Pain.
Hey, Coach, the players want to learn how to throw a runner out, not a shoulder.
This Earth Day, plant a tree. But for the sake of your back, maybe not a full-grown spruce. However April hurts, you can handle it with Advil. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains, because Advil is the every pain reliever. Nothing's proven to work better. Nothing works on more pains.
Gardening can make your hands feel like even those little weeds have roots at the center of the earth.
Advil, it's the every pain reliever.
Among OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
Today's most fuel-efficient mid-size cars can get about 30 miles per gallon. In a hybrid car, about 50 miles per gallon. But the CSX trains that bring those cars to you, they can move a ton of freight, 423 miles, on a single gallon of fuel. Too bad we can't all drive a train. Go to CSX.com to learn more about our commitment to protecting the environment. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
President Bush believes somebody will come up with something to deal with the greenhouse gas problem.
Strategy I've laid out shows faith in the ingenuity and enterprise of the American people. And that's a resource that's never going to run out.
The president thinks we've been going about dealing with a serious problem the wrong way.
The right way is to set realistic goals for reducing emissions, consistent with advances in technology, while increasing our energy security and ensuring our economy can continue to prosper and grow.
Here's my plan, he says.
We fully implement our new strong laws, adhere to the principles I've outlined, and adopt appropriate incentives. We will put America on an ambitious new track for greenhouse gas reductions. Growth in emissions will slow over the next decade, stop by 2025, and begin to reverse thereafter, so long as technology continues to advance.
Peter Frumhoff says he hears what Mr. Bush is saying.
And I think we are clearly in a position where no matter who the next president is, he or she is clearly going to take this issue more seriously, and it's not a moment too soon.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This is how we do it.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes into the hour. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up next hour, we'll talk military, veterans issues, and deserters in Iraq with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans matters. Also, interesting story has surfaced. Did Defense Secretary Bob Gates, in testimony before the Senate on April 10th, suggest that our problems in Afghanistan are blowback from our efforts to deal with the Soviet occupation in the 80s? If so, that's a refreshing check-in with reality. Today, Thursday, at Stanford University, there is a lengthy hearing underway under the auspices of the Federal Communications Commission. And we get a report now from Free Press Representative Josh Silver. Josh, how are you today?
Doing well. Thanks, Peter.
Well, it's great to have you out here in Silicon Valley.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be here. It's nothing like being at Stanford with five federal communications commissioners. It's surreal.
Well, set the landscape for us here. How did this hearing get set up? And an on-bank hearing of all five FCC commissioners outside of Washington is highly unusual.
Well, you know, this hearing today, Peter, is all about the Internet. And as you, as a lot of your listeners know, Stanford and this part of California was really the heart of the birthplace of the Internet. So that symbolic and real-life connection is why the hearing's here. What they're talking about is the continued saga of the largest cable and phone companies that control 98% of the high speed broadband connections across the country, blocking and slowing down Internet traffic in order to block out competitors and make more money. It's something that that got national prominence a few months ago when the cable giant Comcast was caught blocking Internet traffic. I think we mentioned it on your show about a week ago. And they since admitted to doing it and saying things that was today as.
Now, try not turning your head there, Josh, because the it could be Comcast, but somebody's interrupting your cellular traffic there, and you're breaking up just a little bit.
Okay, well, we'll do best here. It's probably the phone companies, right? But the fact is Comcast was reported at this hearing by one of the testifiers to be continuing to block traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And the real problem with this, Peter, is that this isn't just about a bunch of gamers and high-speed Internet users and geeks. I mean, what we're talking about here is the policies that they're talking about, whether or not cable and phone companies that control the Internet can block and slow down and degrade content. That's really about the future of all communication as we see television, radio, phone service, and all these emerging technologies all become supplied by a high-speed Internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
So really this debate, while you sit here at the debate, it gets pretty wonky pretty fast. At the end of the day, what happens as a result of this policymaking process that's underway at the FCC and in Congress will really determine the future of communications in America.
Now, Josh, your signal's perfect, so whatever you did, keep doing it or just stand still. many of us know, for example, that there are tiers of service offered in terms of how fast downloads occur and also uploads. You can buy faster upload speeds either on DSL, which is the telephone system-based Internet connection, or on cable modems, which are clearly delivered through the television cable that comes into virtually most homes in the United States today. So we're not talking about that aspect of it. We can still buy the speed of service that we want. What you're talking about is that Internet service providers want to kind of expand that tier pricing into the server
part of the internet, so that if I have a blog, my website might download much slower than somebody's favorite porn site or a Netflix or a Time Warner website, where corporate America is willing to pay more to Comcast or other internet service providers for higher quality, faster delivery, fewer impediments.
Well, yes and no, Peter. Actually, it's interesting. Your question is a good one, because the fact is both of those issues have come up at today's hearing in Stanford. What has been discussed here is the fact that internet customers are actually not getting what they pay for. This issue that when you see a glossy brochure advertising Comcast or Time Warner high-speed internet or Verizon or AT&T, DSL, and you see that it moves at, say, 3 megabits, and there's a big 3 and that's super fast. One of the things that's been disclosed at today's FCC hearing is actually many of these providers are rarely or even never providing the actual speed that they're advertising.
Really?
And they're talking about how the fact that these companies are actually allowed to represent their internet service as what a customer gets when they're getting the fastest possible scenario. But in fact, 99% of the time, they're actually getting a product that's a whole lot slower. That's like a car company advertising a car with a 200 horsepower engine that only gets that once a month.
Well, but they always say your mileage will be lower, void where prohibited.
Right. So there's a big truth in advertising issue happening here,
mm-hmm.
And so that is part of the issue. Then the other issue is exactly what you described, which is that if companies like Google or Yahoo or eBay or iTunes are allowed to pay extra to these companies and make sure that their product moves faster, and you, as an innovator in a garage, Yahoo was started here at Stanford in 1994 in a dorm room.
Yep.
Now, those kids who did that could not have created a successful product if they had to pay big bucks to compete and get their product online.
Mm-hmm.
The internet has always been a neutral and democratic platform. It's only been in the last few years, since actually an FCC decision in 2005, that this has even been under debate.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Josh Silver. He's at Stanford University, where the Federal Communications Commission is conducting a rare on-bank hearing. All 5 members of the commission are there. And Josh Silver from freepress.net, tell us a little bit about what you see going on. We hear reporters listening to the arguments before the Supreme Court and trying to read how the justices will decide a case. As you watch Kevin Martin and the other commissioners review this testimony and interact with those who are providing it, what kind of clues do you pick up about policy decisions that may come out of this hearing?
Good question. I mean, it really looks like it's going to be a stalemate this year. It is possible that, now remember, the Federal Communications Commission, it's 5 commissioners, 3 Republicans, 2 Democrats. The chairman is appointed by the ruling president in the White House. It's actually the first time in his tenure at the FCC that Chairman Kevin Martin, who was actually a ballot counter against Al Gore in 2000 for Team Bush, and definitely a Bush White House crony, it's the first time.
Well, let me just add that his wife, Kathy Martin, was a press secretary to Dick Cheney, and that all came out in the case around Valerie Plame's disclosed identity.
Yeah, these guys have not been friends to the public interest, and this is the first time that Chairman Martin has actually been on the correct side of an issue. He's really trying to leave his FCC being able to point to something positive that he's done. Remember, he voted to let the largest media companies get bigger on December 18th of last year, handing a big prize to Sam Zell.
Well, and in doing that, Josh, he said, this was the real reach, he said he was doing it to try to preserve newspapers, and I don't think that's the mission statement of the Federal Communications Commission.
Not at all. Remember, too, when he made that decision, he handed over the keys to the Tribune Empire to Sam Zell, who later used the F word with one of his reporters when that reporter had asked how Sam Zell intended to protect critical investigative journalism. So this is the first time Martin's done something positive. It is possible that he's going to tighten some of the rules around this, but really, just like just about every every other issue facing the Congress and the federal agencies in this election year, 2008, most of these issues are going to be punted to the next administration and the next FCC. So, you know, the future of virtually all communications in the U.S. are going to be addressed next year in the next Congress and the next White House. And that's why these hearings are really doubly important, because by setting the terms here, and by, you know, we have about over 400 people have showed up to the auditorium. People are enthusiastically supportive of net neutrality and the public interest side of this. By setting it up this way, we're able to stop the bad guys from permanently jeopardizing the internet, and we're going to probably be fighting another day next year.
Now, Josh, does Free Press have a policy position on whether it would be preferable to enshrine net neutrality through congressional action or through FCC action? From my point of view, congressional action would have more impact and probably be more immune to being modified in the future. If it's handled at the commission, there's a very good chance that it could be repoliticized by a future body.
That's exactly right, and that's why this is so likely that 2009 will be more important. It's also why it's crucial that Congressman Ed Markey from Massachusetts, a Democrat who heads the Telecom Subcommittee in the U.S. House of Representatives, introduced a bill just about 2 months ago. You can find out more on that at SaveTheInternet.com, our website, and you can find out about that bill, which is moving through the Congress now and will likely pass. But really, I mean, you remember, both of the Democratic presidential candidates, Clinton and Obama, have come out forcefully for net neutrality, and they've come out forcefully against consolidation of media ownership. This is the first time we've seen this ever, as far as I know, in two major presidential candidates actually coming out forcefully on the side of the public interest. And I think it also represents an awareness that's happened since the war in Iraq and since the sort of general malaise of this country over the last 7 years, when people increasingly realize that this mainstream consolidated media has really put our entire republic on the chopping block. I mean, if you looked at the debate last night, I don't know if you've already talked about it on today's show, ABC News allowed the Obama-Clinton debate, the entire first half, to be all about old, what I call junk news, about innuendo and he said, she said, about people they'd known, and, you know, Hillary landing in Bosnia and Obama's former minister and all this irrelevant he said, she said, filled up an entire hour of a crucial debate when really these candidates needed to be talking about the vital issues facing this country.
Yeah, it was deeply offensive to me, Josh. They didn't mention the issues around the FISA law and domestic wiretapping and eavesdropping. They didn't even talk about ABC's exclusive scoop last week when they reported how the torture decisions were made by a high-level committee at the White House called the Principals Committee of the National Security Council, or that the President himself acknowledged on Friday last week that he knew what they were doing and he approved it. So none of that entered the debate, and we had to hear about an 8-year-old Barack Obama's alleged connection to the Weather Underground in the 1960s.
It's abysmal, Peter, and that's why it's so important that your listeners understand the connections. It's all bringing it full circle to today's hearing. I mean, the beauty of the internet is that, and the digital convergence is that, every website has the ability in the future to be a TV network or a radio network, where the person with the best ideas and the best marketing and the best message can actually get their voice heard. And these seemingly arcane debates happening today at Stanford and that are going to continue for the next couple of years are really going to determine whether or not that dream will be realized, or if the cable and phone companies will have their way and the internet really truly will become something more akin to cable TV, where they, not you, determine what you get to see, how much it costs, and how fast it downloads.
Josh, one more thing before you go back to the hearing. I wanted to ask if anything has come up about monopolistic behavior and anti-competitive behavior, particularly by Comcast. I don't want to sound too bitter here. Bitter is the operative word this week. But we're stuck with Comcast, and they've got my telephone service, my cable television, and my internet service. And I have a couple of other options, but they're not very attractive. And I just have to say that Comcast does not keep its word on pricing. We've made several deals with them, and the bills come in, and they don't reflect what we agreed to. And we have very little recourse here in California. Comcast has wrapped up most of the state.
Well, you know, since you asked the question, I'll answer. It's a rather complicated one. I'll make it real simple. Up until 2005, there was a rule that applied to the phone companies that said, phone companies, you have to allow competition on your copper wires. And that's why people could get dial-up, albeit slow, dial-up internet connection. And you had a whole bunch of different choices, and it was cheap because there was lots of competition and lots of choices. Then cable came along, started offering internet, and when the FCC was faced with the decision, should we treat them like the phone companies and force competition on the cable lines, or should we let the companies off the hook and say no competition for anybody, they went with a corrupt decision and basically made it so that phone companies and cable companies do not have to allow competitors onto their wires that go into people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the crucial law that is also part of this net neutrality debate, which is going to be considered. So the answer is no. You're stuck with Comcast, which, by the way, even though they publicly told the FCC about 2 weeks ago that they were no longer blocking internet content, it was disclosed at today's hearing in Stanford that they are continuing to do it as recently as yesterday.
My.
But you're stuck with them. But those laws that we're working on at SaveTheInternet.com, they are going to determine whether or not you do have choices in the future.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Josh. You're very well informed. You gave us an excellent report.
Hey, thank you, Peter. Anytime.
Good to talk to you. That is Josh Silver, and he's from Free Press. Their website, freepress.net. Coming up in June, Free Press is having a media reform conference in Minneapolis. And I've gotten word in the last couple of days that we will be there broadcasting live. Details coming up in the next few weeks here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You got a comment? We've got room for it in the next segment. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We got this party started. You can join in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Got some room for calls here over the next few minutes. And then Scott Dick will join us. We'll take lots of calls next hour, too, about military and veterans issues. We're going to talk about those deserters in Iraq. They keep standing down when... What was the phrase? We'll stand down when they stand up. They're not standing up. They're running away. And we'll talk about that with Scott. Many other issues about the Iraq problem, too, coming up next hour. There's a great new effort underway, and just in 48 hours, 50,000 Americans have signed an online petition calling for the resignation of Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. The website, CondiMustGo.com. This is a collaboration of Robert Greenwald, Brave New Films, and others. And I want to play an excerpt from this for you. Yesterday we played part of a commercial that was run after the Obama-Clinton debate, but only on the ABC television station in Philadelphia, not on the main network. And it was very well done. And here's the companion video. We'll listen to the audio, and I'll tell you what's on the screen.
I want to make very clear that that's the view and the policy of the administration, the policy of the president, and that he's made very clear to American personnel that we will not condone torture. The United States does not permit, tolerate, or condone torture under any circumstances.
Tonight, the results of a five-month investigation. Ever since the public learned about it, the program for using harsh interrogation techniques on terrorism suspects has been highly controversial.
This is Charlie Gibson of ABC News, who failed to ask any questions about Condoleezza Rice, about torture, about who approved it in the debate last night. Shame on you, Mr. Gibson.
Nobody condones torture.
The discussions in the White House were top secret, and sources say involved some of the president's most senior and influential advisors.
Let me try to be clear. The United States doesn't and can't condone torture.
The meetings were chaired by then National Security Advisor Rice.
The discussions about the enhanced interrogation techniques were so detailed, sources said, the interrogations were almost choreographed. Whether, for example, they would be slapped, pushed, deprived of sleep, or subjected to simulated drowning.
It was a torture program implemented by the United States of America and approved at the very highest level.
Torture and conspiracy to commit torture are crimes under U.S. law.
wherever they may occur.
Glad you know that, Condi. We're going to remind you.
Waterboarding is misnamed. It should not be called waterboarding. That's just the device that we use. It should be called the drowning torture, and has been called the drowning torture in the past.
I mean, these people are sitting around, regularly talking about something defined as a crime.
Under no circumstances should we or have we condoned torture.
In a meeting that summer, sources said Rice was decisive, telling the CIA, "This is your baby. Go do it."
The United States government does not authorize or condone torture of detainees. Acts of physical or mental torture are expressly prohibited.
I was in a lot of pain, and I was sort of counting the seconds, actually just counting 1 second, 2 seconds, just like that, really. Just hoping that it's going to be over soon, it's going to be over soon.
Well, that's a very powerful video, 2.5 minutes long, CondiMustGo.com. I encourage you to check it out and to share it with friends. Pass it around as many places as you can, because the corporate media is, you know, moving on from that story. As I mentioned, ABC's self-interest should have led them to ask about that issue with Obama and Clinton last night, and Charles Gibson, who anchored the original reports, didn't even bother to bring it up. But they had time for the Sean Hannity-fed question about Bill Ayers and the weather underground. It's just so shameful. As we wrap up this segment, let me name the members who, along with Condoleezza Rice, approved torture. This is the Principals Committee of the National Security Council, Vice President Cheney, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, Secretary of State Powell, Attorney General John Ashcroft, and CIA Director George Tenet. He, the holder of the Congressional Medal of Freedom, or the President's Medal of Freedom. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening to This Hour.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Pope meets with victims of pedophile priests.
These efforts to protect children must continue.
The troops are stressed and they're not asking for help.
Bad news and difficulties and conflicts don't necessarily get better on their own.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Since he started his pilgrimage to the United States, Pope Benedict has confronted the clergy sex abuse scandal head on. This afternoon at the Vatican Embassy in Washington, there was an extraordinary meeting. Reverend Federico Lombardi, the papal spokesman, says Benedict met in the chapel with a small group of victims.
They prayed with the Holy Father, who afterwards listened to their personal accounts and offered them words of encouragement and hope.
It's a small positive step on a long, long, long road.
David Clossy of the Survivors Network, a victims advocacy group.
We cannot confuse gestures and words and promises and one meeting with real reform.
The Pope had this issue on his mind this morning when he celebrated Mass at Nationals Park. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has that part of the story.
Pope Benedict, celebrating Mass for 46,000 in the new baseball stadium, said words can't describe the pain and harm of sex abuse victims.
Efforts to protect children must continue.
Catholics thrilled to see the Pope felt at age 81 he's strong.
Absolutely. He seems to get around well. He has a lot of energy. He shakes hands with a lot of people. I mean, the energy he has is fantastic.
It's the most amazing thing. I'm so happy we could share it with our kids.
Tomorrow in New York, Benedict will address the United Nations. There's a mass in Yankee Stadium on Sunday. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your valve stem cover.
Thank you. No cameras. Hold your applause.
Hold on. You're a what?
A valve stem cover.
A valve stem?
Yeah, I cover the valve stems on your tires. I know your tires inside and out. Mostly out.
Well, thanks, but I'll ask my Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer about tire inflation, rotation, special offer.
Fine, then I'll just keep doing what I do best.
And that is?
Covering valve stems.
Right.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
I was diagnosed with diabetes. My doctor was a huge help. But I was still anxious, and I found myself wanting even more information.
Only Aetna members have access to Aetna Navigator, a secure online resource that enables members to check the status of their claims and provides information on everything from wellness to diabetes, as well as procedure costs and hospital quality ratings.
Now I feel like I'm in control of my diabetes instead of it controlling me.
We want you to know. Aetna. To learn more, go to Aetna.com.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. Health insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
A troubling report on the mental health of the troops who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has that.
One in five soldiers returning from war zones is showing signs of post-traumatic stress disorder or depression. But a new study from the RAND Corporation says only half of them have sought help.
Always comes up the concern of, you know, I really don't know whether I can engage in treatment because I'm worried about my career.
Colonel Laurie Sutton is a military specialist in mental disorders.
It creates a barrier in the minds of our service members who are reluctant to seek care because of that fear.
She says more needs to be done to remove that stigma. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Disorder in the court in San Angelo, Texas today as hundreds of lawyers showed up to represent the children seized from the Yearning for Zion polygamist compound. Reporter Christian Bove of CBS radio affiliate KTSA describes the scene.
It's been a logistical nightmare considering the number of children that are being represented here today, over 400. So obviously too many attorneys and clients to be held in one courtroom. So there's been an overflow in the City Hall auditorium. So several dozen attorneys are having to watch the hearing on a big screen TV with a live video feed.
The state contends the children have been physically and sexually abused. It wants them permanently removed from their parents' custody and placed in foster homes. The subject of Iran's nuclear program came up when President Bush and British Prime Minister Gordon Brown met at the White House today. Mr. Bush said the Tehran government's claim of peaceful intentions is untrustworthy.
To say that, well, okay, it's okay to let them learn to enrich and assume that that program, that knowledge couldn't be transferred to a program, a military program, is, in my judgment, naive.
Brown chimed in with a threat to extend sanctions, saying Iran has not told the truth. While he continues to work with Mr. Bush, the prime minister is looking ahead to the next administration. He had separate meetings today with John McCain, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Are we into the Olympics? Are you kidding? This is America. We high-five after meetings. We applaud when delayed planes land. We clap at the end of movies. I never got that, but anyway, you better believe we're going to go nuts for our Olympic athletes. Get U.S. Olympic Team Banking, only at Bank of America. You'll get the U.S. Olympic Team logo on your checks, check card, credit card, and statements. And we'll make a donation to the team with every check card or credit card purchase you make. Plus, with your U.S. Olympic Team Visa Rewards credit card, you'll earn points for cash, airline tickets, and cool Olympic merchandise. So go ahead and cheer when the fire department gets a cat out of a tree. Or some guy eats 37 hot dogs at the county fair. Let's show the Olympic team the same kind of spirit. This is America. Don't you belong at Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Member FDIC.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Every week about this time, we set aside an hour to talk military and veterans issues with somebody who knows more than I do. That somebody served in the Marine Corps, then jumped to the Army and retired as a major. Scott Dick joins me this hour. Your calls and comments, questions, welcome at 888-5-PETER-B.
Guess who just got back today? That wild-eyed boy said it's been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are great. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town. I said, the boys are back in town, the boys are back in town.
Hard to believe it was just a week ago that Petraeus and Crocker came to Washington to sell us on the success of the surge and to buy more time for Bush's occupation of Iraq. And those boys are back in Baghdad. Now we've got Gordon Brown, the new Prime Minister of England, and the Pope visiting in Washington. Never a dull moment. Scott Dick joins us. As I mentioned, he served in the Marine Corps, retired from the Army at the rank of Major, and he is with us once again. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Is it hard for you to believe that it was only a week ago that Petraeus and Crocker were serving up their propaganda?
No, I mean, yes, it's incredible. I hope it's the genies that everybody is trying to get to spin this worth faster so we'll get to the January 9th quicker.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, it boggles my mind, and this ties in with the poor performance of ABC in a primetime debate on the first network broadcast of a presidential debate this year. It's just so frustrating that they didn't ask the candidates about the surge. They didn't ask them about Petraeus and Crocker. There was one sequence of questions about getting out of Iraq, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But I'm so bitter that Charles Gibson, as I pointed out just at the end of the last segment, he's the guy who anchored the report when ABC broke the news last Thursday and Friday of who was responsible for authorizing torture techniques, and they didn't find time to mention that because they were so busy distracting us with these gotcha questions.
You are way too nice, Peter. I thought that their performance was not poor. I thought it was disgusting. It was a travesty, and they should turn in their journalism badges and get their National Enquirer badges, because it was stupid, and it was disgusting, and it was a waste of my time, and I hope they get smacked hard for it.
Wow. You're right. I was too mild. It was disgusting.
It was disgusting.
It was insulting.
I was insulted as a viewer, and anybody who watched that, and I mean, David Brooks, I thought the questions were excellent. Then, you know, Peter, I don't know how else to put it. I think he's a stupid individual.
Yeah. Yeah, and thanks for cleaning up your language for broadcast.
You're welcome. I do my best.
So what did you think of the questioning about? It started with a question from a viewer, and then Charlie Gibson doubled it down into a very specific question, which is, if you take office next January and the generals from Iraq tell you that we shouldn't bring troops home, will you still do it? And to their credit, Obama and Clinton both had different answers about why they would proceed with the proposals that they have based their campaigns on.
Well, Peter, it was a designed gotcha question. And I think I heard a report, a statistic, that Gibson won the gotcha question contest with Stephanopoulos. Although Stephanopoulos was just as lame and disgusting as he was, just had fewer of them. It was a classic gotcha question to put them both on the defensive, to get them in a position where they would have to agree with their generals. And as Senator Obama very brightly and astutely pointed out, the president sets the mission, not the generals. And so far, as I've said on your show many times, Peter, we don't have a mission.
That's right.
And so there's a mission now to come home safely, come home quickly, and come home with a minimum of useless expenditure of war material, and that's one of the things we do. When we leave everything for the host nation, and it's going to be a big expensive, because it's more expensive to ship it home than it is to leave it there and write it off to the government arms program.
Yeah. So, Scott, how realistic is it to pull out a, what are they saying, two brigades a month?
Well, I don't think that's realistic. I think that's probably the best under any kind of logistical planning. That's got to be near perfection. All the ships go on time. All the airplanes go on time. There's no, to move a brigade, it takes about a month in or out. And to get them out, you know, if they just throw everything in a big pile, they could probably get two brigades out in a month. But I don't think once they're told, hey, look, this is going to cost us, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, I think that's unrealistic. One brigade a month is probably good enough.
But on that basis, it would take about 3 years to bring the bulk of the troops out of Iraq.
Well, they could. Let me rephrase. I'm thinking, transoceanic travel. If they moved them to Kuwait, they could get two brigades out. Depends on what they mean by out. So let's parse out the word out. Do we mean just taking them over to Kuwait? Then, we could get two brigades out a month.
Well, and this is where, to be fair, both Clinton and Obama are a little bit fuzzy, because Obama makes the statement focused on combat troops. And he says he wants to get all of our combat troops out of Iraq. Now, as you pointed out, there are large numbers of support personnel. I haven't heard Clinton or Obama, at least not in these debates, talk about the military contractors, and that body count is much higher than the actual uniformed service members. So there are many pieces to this, and we're hearing things that sound good. And I give, I'm a critic of Senator Clinton's. I don't support her. But if you just dropped in and heard her answer last night, I thought she did very well. And she kind of sold me on her commitment to get our forces out of Iraq. At the same time, I cannot forget the history that she hasn't always held that position, and that in some respects she is responding to the will of the voters, or in a worst case, a critical case, you would call it pandering to the voters.
Right. And, neither one of those senators have access to DOD planning at the level they need to make real decisions with a timeline that they can present to the American people. It's going to take about a month of rock-solid planning for them to get a timeline, because they have to look at the manifests and the shipping and everything else. If it's just a goal to get them into Kuwait, into a non-combat zone, but leave them in theater, that's one thing. But you can have a lot of people piled up on top of a lot of people. Some of those kids are going to have to come home. So those... And one point, Peter, I guarantee you when the combat troops leave, the camp followers will be right on their tails. They will not stay there, the contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional camp followers go where the troops do go, and as their contracts dry up, they will not leave a person in there. It'll be a race to see who turns off the lights. The first sergeant or the contractor, the senior contractor.
Right. Well, I mention them really to just give people an idea of the total number of personnel and, their suitcases and duffel bags and other gear. And that road to Kuwait City is going to get really clogged.
Oh, it's going to be, we have PXs there and gyms and theaters to support our troops, and I don't begrudge them that. I'm just saying that that's all a fact. We have AP civilians, and we got Postal Service, and we got all these extra people there. They're going to have to move, because once the troops leave, they're not going to have any protection. And the smart thing to sell this to the two candidates would to say, we need to do a turnover with the Iraqis, and so we can get, if we really go, well, I won't say the expression, but if we really go hard at this, we can turn over two brigades or one brigade or three brigades a month to the Iraqis, take over all the checkpoints and all the security, because they will need security to get out.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most dangerous operations you can conduct is a retrograde.
Yeah, thanks for editing yourself and not saying balls out, because we have really high standards here.
I was going to say balls to the wall. So a surrender, that normally takes that's probably one of the most dangerous. Oh, did I say that? A retrograde is one of the most dangerous operations that you can do, and turning it over, where we barely trust the Iraqis we're serving with is going to be problematical. But we need to do it, and we need to do it right now and not wait till next year. But, of course, you know, this administration has stayed the course no matter how many of our troops get killed in a fraudulent and wasteful endeavor in the crapper that I call Iraq.
Yeah. Well, could we call it a, you know, an advance toward home?
Yeah, a retrograde towards the, an attack towards the rear. That's what the story is. That's a, it's an attack towards the rear. Absolutely.
Scott Dick is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls this hour on military issues. You want to talk about the strategery in Iraq, about the policies, the debate in Washington, what we heard from Petraeus and Crocker last week. That's all up for grabs. As the hour continues, we're going to bring you some comments from Doug Feith, who is one of the architects of the neocon war and occupation, and Fred Kagan, too. That guy really turns my stomach. We're also going to talk about vets with PTSD. And an assertion that is attributed to Defense Secretary Gates about blowback related to Afghanistan. That's all ahead this hour. In our next segment, we're going to talk about the Iraqi forces standing down, or actually deserting and not fighting. We'll talk about that and take more of your, well, take some of your calls if you call. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Thanks for joining us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXN. We'll start things off in Santa Cruz. Northbound 1 connector ramp over to northbound Highway 17. A broken down van reported. That's partially blocking the roadway there. Del Monte Forest, Holman Highway 68 at Scenic Drive. 2-car crash. All the activity off to the side. CHP is on the scene. An injury crash reported in Interlake in Casserly Road north of Diaz Lane. A vehicle into a power pole. That's off to the shoulder. Emergency crews have the roadway blocked, though, as they try to make sure that that pole is secure so they can open that roadway back up. Highway 17, most of the Santa Cruz Mountains, currently no problems. A little bit of slow traffic leaving Los Gatos heading up to the summit. And this report is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect. Only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We got more for you now on the Peter B. Collins Show, sponsored by Poly Point Press and John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising, all about Reverend Moon and that propaganda sheet called The Washington Times. Find out more on the web. Visit thekingofamerica.com. There's a great video there. That's thekingofamerica.com. And we continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And the latest news from Iraq and Baghdad, a suicide bomber struck the funeral of two anti-Al-Qaeda Sunni tribesmen in a town north of Baghdad. At least 50 people were killed, dozens wounded. Iraqi's puppet leader Nouri al-Maliki told European lawmakers that his administration's closer than ever to defeating Al-Qaeda-allied Sunni Muslim extremists. A day after bombings attributed to the Iraqi version of the militant group killed about 60 people and wounded 120 north of Baghdad. And they've eased the security rules for Americans in the green zone. Apparently incoming ain't coming in as often as they were just a week or so ago. And, Scott, that's not all. There's another explosion in Iraq yesterday, killing dozens of 50 Iraqi civilians in Baghdad. And the carnage just continues. Even though the we've been told the surge is working, that the Iraqification of the war is continuing, and they have now disciplined some 1,300 soldiers who either failed to fight or deserted during the efforts to quell Basra about 2 weeks ago. And we have another story we'll tell in a moment here about a showdown in Sadr City. But we were told that these Iraqis would be standing up so that we could stand down, Scott. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, Peter, that's what Rumsfeld said. You know, the troops stand up, we'll stand down. What do you do when they stand up and then sit down again?
Yeah.
Where are we in the... Does the music stop and then everybody finds a chair?
Well, and when they stand up and run, that makes it very difficult because we're told now that U.S. forces are really just kind of monitoring the front line of Iraqi forces who are trying to deal with the issues confronting them.
Wouldn't you like to be in that group of Americans monitoring the conflict, and suddenly you were once in the middle of the formation, and now suddenly you're at the point of the formation?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, vaporware.
Well, that's what happened in Sadr City on Wednesday. An Iraqi army captain said he left his 70 soldiers in the middle of a battle in Sadr City because it was time to take a break. I mean, does this guy work for Caltrans or what?
Halliburton, probably. No, that's the whole basis when we point back to Bremer disbanding the military. Completely. There were ways to handle that, to get professionals who had been trained, who were still loyal to the Iraqi people, who suddenly wouldn't turn on each other, and use them the way the Germans used the old army from the DDR. And it was doable, and it could, you know, and instead we spent billions training, and I put those words in quotation marks, training and arming, much more quotation marks, these young troops that are really just, they're not worthless, but they're next to worthless. It makes it dangerous when you think you're going into combat operation with combat troops, and then suddenly you are the combat troops remaining on the battlefield.
Well, and when they come face-to-face with al-Sadr's Mahdi army, they don't fight. They give up their weapons. They welcome them as liberators. They offer them rose water. But the Iraqi police and the Iraqi army that we have spent billions and dollars of dollars in training, you know, they cannot be relied upon. Now, you know, 1,300 is not the entire contingent. I believe we've trained upwards of 300 or 400,000 people. But when push comes to shove, this is what we're seeing.
Well, Peter, the whole idea of, I mean, these are cousins and friends and brothers. They all know, I mean, I won't say they all know each other. That's ridiculous. But you know what I mean? These are families. They know that this kind of activity leads to blood feuds, which could affect them for the rest of their lives. These are decisions they have to make. It's much like our National Guard looking at our college students and saying, you know, do we fire? Oh, yeah, let's shoot them. I mean, this is tough for these people. It's a civil war, not a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
It has all the ramifications of a civil war without it being a declared civil war, if you will. So it puts these untrained or poorly trained troops in the position that I feel for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, two Iraqi commanders from Basra have been rotated out of their posts, but we're told this is not discipline or criticism for the failure of the army in the Basra confrontation. Do you believe that in any way?
No. It's, to me, the idea that they're rotating them out. It's the middle of a combat operation, I thought, and these senior leadership, you would think, would begin an operation and carry it all the way to the end, and after they had some tenure in their position, say 2 or 3 years, then they'd be rotated out. What do they have, 2 months, 3 months? They don't really give us anything to judge it, but it sounds awfully suspicious. More likely, these might be locals that don't want any part of this conflict. They don't want to live with the consequences, long-term consequences, either, which mean, you know, could very well result in them being murdered in their beds.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of complications. The captain who deserted his troops in Sadr City, there's a pattern, Scott, that for paydays, they either take the money and go home to give it to the family, or they go back home, which is where they are paid. And this leads to no-shows on a regular basis, and we understand that this captain hadn't been paid in 2 months, so I'm not quite sure why he was going home anyway.
Well, there's a weird thing with the way that pay works in militaries not our own, or industrialized militaries. We know the Europeans get up paid in a normal way. The money's transferred through the account or they get a check. But in many countries, commanders are paid, and then they're supposed to pay their troops. Well, that's just fraught with corruption and abuse, and it's very likely that his boss just ciphered off his cash, and you know, he didn't get paid, and that's his form of protest, his only form of protest.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. Your calls are welcome, 888-5 Peter B. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Clinging to religion. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Democratic bloggers really hated that debate last night with all the rehashing of Hillary Clinton's sniper fire story and the screaming sermons of Barack Obama's pastor. But the surprise was that Obama basically repeated the religion remark that got him tagged as an elitist.
When they're promised year after year, decade after decade, that their economic situation is going to change, and it doesn't, then politically they end up focusing on those things that are constant, like religion.
Mrs. Clinton then reprised her reaction, first reminding us of her working class roots.
Well, I am the granddaughter of a factory worker from Scranton.
Working class gene apparently skips a generation, kind of like baldness. And then she pointed out that those working class relatives would have been insulted to hear Barack Obama's claim that they might cling to religion.
I don't believe that my grandfather or my father or the many people whom I have had the privilege of knowing and meeting across Pennsylvania over many years cling to religion when Washington is not listening to them.
Which is why it's puzzling Obama would stick with his remark. Who would ever turn to religion just because the government isn't listening to them? Who would turn to religion just because government has failed to deliver?
We just need to go around to these stores and to these massive industries in our country and say, God sent us by here to say to you that you're not treating his children right.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was that fellow. Now this.
precious rose, you color our world. Till insects and disease turn it upside down. So backed by over a century of Bayer science, we've created Bayer Advanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care. It's the only no-spray formula that works three ways, controlling bugs and disease as it feeds for brighter, more vibrant flowers. So count your blessings and stop to smell the scientific advances. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results. BayerAdvanced.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We're talking military veterans issues with Scott Dick this hour. Lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Got it?
Making a living the old hard way. Taking and giving my day by day. I dig snow and rain and bright sunshine.
Checking the line.
Black old Sammy's purple flower. Ain't got much for what we got ours. We dig snow and rain and bright sunshine.
And up next, Scott Dick has some wacky sound, a soundbite from Senator Lindsey Graham, who is a part of the John McCain Protection Squad. Together with Joe Lieberman, they help the elderly senator from Arizona get himself out of little verbal pickles and gaffes that he has gotten himself into. And we've seen that Lindsey Graham is a major apologist for the war. And I referenced last week that he was interacting with General Petraeus by saying, I wish I could give you a fifth star. So set this up for us, Scott. What do you have?
Well, we have Lindsey Graham, who is an Air Force lawyer. He's currently an Air Force colonel, and his entire education is undergraduate and law degrees from the University of South Carolina in Columbia. So I wouldn't exactly call him a foreign policy expert or an expert on military affairs just because he's an Air Force colonel and a lawyer. He's a JAG officer.
That's right.
So I just wanted to check to make sure his credentials, that he, you know, he hadn't gone to the, you know, some international school of international diplomacy or something like that where he might know what he was talking about. So for some reason, he has extrasensory perceptional knowledge, like that, in the conflict in Iraq. And this is stuff I didn't even know, Peter, and I bet you didn't know either. So this is kind of a longish clip, but he explains what's actually happening in Iraq and in Basra right now. And I thought this was fascinating, and it had to be shared with all the listeners here in your network.
Okay, go.
We're operating outside the government, unlawful in nature, and the central government is taking them on. We must win this fight. The militias that we're fighting are backed by Iran, so this is an effort by Iran to destabilize Iraq. I hope we can find a political compromise, but the American military power we put in the last year has enormously turned things around politically, economically, and militarily. The fight in the South needs to come. It is now upon us, and I hope it can be resolved in a way to stabilize Iraq.
Now, in response to the suggestion that this is a fight against Iranian-backed militias, the Iranians have close associations with all of the Shia communities, not only Sadr, but also with Hakim. In fact, just a few weeks ago, Ahmadinejad made a very significant visit and was greeted warmly by Prime Minister Maliki. So the notion that this is a fight by American allies against Iranian-inspired elements is not accurate. The Iranians have a presence there. They must be. They're a reality there. But we've got to begin to withdraw our forces.
So, Peter, that's basically Senator Jack Reed really just handing Lindsey Graham's butt to him in a platter.
Yeah.
And it was nice to actually have the real version being played at the same time.
Well, and I didn't recognize that voice until you identified Senator Reed from Rhode Island, but he has frustrated me because while he did initially vote against going into Iraq, every time they put him on TV to offer the Democratic position, he repeats Republican frames and language, always talks in the White House terms about protecting the troops and funding the troops, and I find him very frustrating as a point man on these issues. But in this case, he gave it right back to Lindsey Graham.
He did. He did very well. And the rest of the clip is just Lindsey Graham going, the militias, and now, Peter, this is an amazing transformation. Remember, they were insurgents and terrorists and members of Al-Qaeda. And as we pointed out, we talked about last week, and now that we're going to see the mafia, criminal gangs, outlaw elements. So it's just like, pick your enemy and be consistent.
Mm-hmm. And, the other side of this is the Sunni groups. And in the Petraeus Crocker testimony, they skirt over a number of critical issues about why these citizens' councils, or they're called concerned local citizens in some areas, what their function is, and just how reliable they are. Because I believe that the $2.6 billion we've spent on this program, it's called the Commander's Emergency Response Program, and we pay these guys $300 a month to stand on the corner and run checkpoints and not shoot at Americans. I mean, maybe I'm being a little cynical here in my expression, but that's what it's about. And the administration spins this as related to the surge, and I don't believe it is. It is simply an adaptation of our strategy in Afghanistan, where as long as we pay a warlord, he and his militias will, support us and not shoot at us. But what we're seeing here is this spin situation where these Sunni groups have basically taken over ghettoized areas that have been ethnically cleansed. The Sunnis are no longer there.
Correct.
And they're put in charge. And yes, violence has declined. But it doesn't mean that there won't be more violence either when the U.S. pulls out or, perhaps as we stay there. And what I find interesting is that Petraeus is trying to move some of these Sunni cops or rent-a-cops, whatever you want to call them, into the Iraqi police force, which we know is dominated by the Sunnis, and so is the Ministry of Defense. And this, appears to be one of those American ideas that simply will not work in Iraq and will blow up in our faces.
You mean the Shia? They're dominated by the Shia. You said Sunni.
I apologize. Yes, they're dominated by the Shia.
Well, a couple of things. First, we're paying $162 million a year, and when the senators asked Petraeus why and Crocker, why aren't the Iraqis paying for this program, all he could do was bluster. He didn't say, no, you're right, I'll make sure that next year the Iraqis start paying. He blustered. And Maliki's already said he would never accept these Sunni groups into those two institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about blowing up in our face. I think the commanders this is a tourniquet for the commanders. They were probably told to stop taking casualties. And I know, believe me, I could almost hear the order coming down the chain, stop having casualties. Do whatever you have to do. And so that's what they're doing. So they've changed their tactics, and they've opened up these big suitcases full of money. And they've actually given the Sunni a chance to patrol their own neighborhoods and keep the Shia police, who are the Shia death squads, the Shia police during the day, Shia death squads at night, out of their neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's real smart.
Well, let's move in this direction, because you just touched on the idea of who pays for these kinds of things. And there's now a movement afoot in Washington, and it appears to be bipartisan. I think it started with Republicans. But I've heard Democrats chime in, including Carl Levin of Michigan, saying that they want the Iraqis to pay for reconstruction. And they're pointing out that, allegedly, the government in Baghdad has $30 billion in reserves. And they're saying, why should we keep paying for this occupation? Well, I have a couple of reasons. One is that we blew up their country. And I do believe that we have an obligation to commit significant amounts of money to rebuild the infrastructure, communications, water, sewage, the basic elements of a standard or a minimal standard of a quality of life that we need to restore to the pre-war conditions. After that, and of course I do realize that we've spent a lot of money on reconstruction that's been wasted on American contractors who brought in people from other countries but didn't hire Iraqis, shoddy construction, corruption, all kinds of issues.
You mean like raw sewage flowing out of the light fixtures in a freshly minted Iraqi police station?
Well, in hospitals, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are a lot of blunders that we have made there, but to now point the finger at the Iraqis and say, we blew up your country and you're responsible for rebuilding it and paying for it, I just think that's a really poor policy position to take, and it's being driven really because the Bush administration keeps squeezing more money out of the Democrats in Congress. And if they had more spine and refused Bush's requests, then I might be willing to say, oh yeah, let's shift some of those costs to the Iraqis. But as long as we're writing blank checks, why should we put the squeeze on the Iraqis at this point?
Well, Peter, I disagree with you. I think if this was December of 2005, that would all be relevant. But this is 2008. It's April of 2008. We should have been out of there by July of 2006. And our economy just can't. So pretty soon we're going to be taking handouts from the Iraqis. They're going to be sending us money for reconstruction. And they have $35 billion in American banks, and they have a surplus. It's time. And the money that they've allocated, this is one of the phony benchmarks that the Republicans keep pointing to. Look at all these. They've allocated the money for, but it's not money spent. They've allocated $16 billion for infrastructure. Big deal. They spent less than $1.5 billion of it, and mm-hmm. it's just been carried over. My question is, whose bank account in Switzerland is this money going to? And so whether the fact that they've allocated money or not means nothing.
All right, but Scott, if we try to shift this burden to the Iraqis, the corruption will continue. They will siphon off oil money, and all we're going to have is a bunch of starving Iraqis.
We already have that.
But it'll be worse.
Yeah. Oh, don't.
And then we can't leave.
Yeah, well, because these gains are fragile and reversible. And no, it's until the Iraqis actually get the idea that they're going to have to print their own money and go to the Chinese with their credit card to reconstruct their country, and they actually get that in. They're like school children. They're like college kids with credit cards. They know we're not serious about leaving. They know we're not serious about cutting them off. They know we're not serious about anything.
Well, Well, I certainly want to send that message, and I think Obama and Clinton both referenced that in the debate Wednesday night in Philadelphia, that we have to demonstrate to the Iraqis that we're serious and that they're going to be on their own. That said, I just think at this point, we have a very complicated situation here, and I think to throw another wrench into it and say that we want Iraqis to pay for their reconstruction, I just think the timing really sucks.
Well, Peter, you know who else is the benefactor of some of these reconstruction dollars? He's running a firm there in Baghdad, our old friend Chalabi.
Oh, yeah, Ahmed Chalabi.
He's still getting money from the United States government, and I think that's disgusting. Until they clean all that out, they should be wasting Iraqi dollars, not American dollars.
All right, let's talk to Chalabi, or let's listen to Chalabi's old friend, Doug Feith. He was there at the Office of Special Plans, a neocon who helped with the Project for a New American Century, then went into Rumsfeld's Defense Department to plan the invasion and occupation of Iraq. And he's busy trying to scrub the record and create some legacy. Let's listen to his comments here on a public radio show in New York.
Raid of Horribles, you called it that at the time. It was issued on October 15th, 2002, 5 months before the war began. It anticipated everything from UN rejection of the war to Iran's influence in the new Iraq, to a failure to find WMDs, to a draining 8 to 10 year reconstruction process. In your opinion, what should the public make of the existence of this memo?
Well, what that memo represented was an effort by Secretary Rumsfeld to bring to the president's attention the downsides of going to war. He wanted to make sure that the president understood the risks of war, having already spent a fair amount of time discussing the risks of leaving Saddam Hussein in power. I think the memo will be very surprising to people because it's completely the opposite of the image that a lot of people have of Secretary Rumsfeld and his team, which is that this was a team that was advocating war. What we were in fact doing was trying to analyze in a really serious fashion an extremely difficult problem, which was weighing the risks of leaving Saddam Hussein in power versus the risks of removing him.
Well, the public was never told that the parade of horribles were considered possibilities. Instead, we were told it would be a cakewalk. Were you...
You weren't told that by the administration.
Now, this is the lie.
Well, that particular quote came from Kenneth Edelman from Secretary Rumsfeld's advisory group, correct?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of private citizens on various advisory groups. They were not government officials. That was a very ill-considered remark.
Let me play you a clip of Vice President Cheney on Meet the Press from March 16th, 2003, as the war was beginning.
Now, I think things have gotten so bad inside Iraq from the standpoint of the Iraqi people, my belief is we will, in fact, be greeted as liberators.
If your analysis is not correct, and we're not treated as liberators but as conquerors, and the Iraqis begin to resist, particularly in Baghdad, do you think the American people are prepared for a long, costly, and bloody battle with significant American casualties?
Well, I don't think it's likely to unfold that way, Tim, because I really do believe we will be greeted as liberators.
So there is the soundbite that refutes the spin of Doug Feith. And if you go to thinkprogress.org, they have a whole laundry list of Ari Fleischer, Andy Carr, Donald Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Cheney, and Rice with very optimistic statements about what it was going to be like in Iraq. And Scott, why are these neocons trying so feverishly to rewrite the book? I guess they all have publishing contracts.
Well, it's right now. It's the best time to rewrite history is right after it happens, and so they have a real vested interest in not being the architects of one of the biggest foreign policy blunders in all of U.S. history. I think they want their legacy to be something else, and so now they're going to lie, cheat, and steal to change it to something else.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Jack checking traffic on KRXA starting this time in South San Jose, actually. Northbound 101 after Bailey Avenue. A big piece of tire tread. That's in the right-hand lane. Multiple cars swerving to avoid that as you go by. May cause a little bit of slow traffic as you make your way from Morgan Hill into South San Jose. For Broomdale, San Miguel Canyon Road at 101. Crash two cars. They've pulled into a nearby parking lot. CHP on the scene now sorting things out. Highway 68 west of Scenic Drive. An earlier crash off to the side. Looks like tow truck may be on the scene now. And Casserly Road, north of Diaz Lane. This is in Santa Cruz County. We have reports of an accident. Vehicle may have partially taken down a power pole off to the shoulder. That roadway has been shut down as they try to secure that pole. They're saying it may be closed for about 2 hours out there. Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountains. No stalls and no accidents to tell you about. This report is brought to you by Subway. $5 footlongs. Hurry into Subway because right now, for a limited time, get any freshly made mouthwatering regular footlong sub for just $5. $5 Subway. Eat fresh. That's traffic. I'm Nate Nix on KRXA.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Coming up next hour, Melanie Sloan will kick off the Free Speech Zone, and then we're going to talk about the debate Wednesday night. Get your comments here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Well, that's the perfect setup for a clip from Fred Kagan. The lights are on, and you're not home. Scott, Kagan is one of the neocons who is an architect of this mess we have, the foreign policy in the Middle East, including the occupation of Iraq. And I saw...
I want to point out that he has no foreign policy credentials as far as studying. He's just touted as an expert at the Inter-American Enterprise Institute, but go ahead.
Well, you're right. And it shows, because I recently saw him on the NewsHour. He was there to support the surge and spin the Petraeus-Crocker report. And it's really shocking to hear these guys describe the wonderful things going on in Iraq and ignore the daily news reports that show that things are not hunky-dory. There's a story in Thursday's New York Times that they're now enforcing seatbelt laws on people in their cars in Baghdad. And this is supposed to be a sign of return to normalcy because, hey, everything's so mellow that they can crack down on people who don't wear their seatbelts on the way to a roadside bomb attack.
You know, Peter, that is so typical. This is the Peter principle extended to the international arena. That is I had not heard that. That is unbelievable. That fits in the category of disgusting. And here I am taking shots from, militiamen at checkpoints, and I can't get out of my car because I have my damn seatbelt on.
Right, yeah. it's really weird. Now, let's see if we can get this clip to play. This is on the Hugh Hewitt radio show. Hewitt is a guy who I believe was a speechwriter in the Reagan White House, and he is featured on the Christian Broadcasting Company called Salem Communications. They claim to be Bible teachers, but they have stations that carry Hugh Hewitt and Michael Savage all across the country.
What about the money
radio
and the oil issues, Fred Kagan? Obviously, a lot of Americans are now hearing from Democrats that we're spending too much money and they're sitting on this oil reserves and they're not paying their own way. What's your assessment of that critique and of the state of the Iraqi oil industry?
Well, golly gee, I mean, you know, I thought it was no blood for oil, right? I mean, do we actually have an imperialistic party in this country, and is it actually the Democratic Party? I didn't think we've gone into Iraq to make a profit on this war.
Now, what a bizarre string of comments. First of all, he asks in question form, do we have an imperialistic party in this country, and is it actually the Democratic Party? I'm sorry, I don't know too many Democrats who used to be a CEO of Halliburton or Bechtel.
Well, it's the kind of absolute nonsense. This is the white is black is white, up is down is up world of right-wing Republican Martian speak. And he's declaring this idea that our economy is in the toilet, so maybe we should get a little bit of the surplus from the Iraqis, who are gathering wealth on the backs of the taxpayers, and make them pay for some stuff. And that makes the Democratic Party imperialist. We didn't invade that stinking country.
Nope. And I don't know any Democrats who've directly profited. I'm sure there are a handful, but I don't know of any.
So it's the whole idea that this is the Democratic Party's imperialist country. Because what happened to rugged individualism from it's a mainstream part of the Republican philosophy, the nonsensical? I mean, it's once again, it's Martian speak, because it's only rugged individualism if it's you, Peter, that's sick and don't have health insurance.
Right.
But if it's their big company like Bear Stearns, then screw that rugged individualism.
Yeah, personal responsibility really relates to somebody else's sexual behavior, Scott.
As long as, if I can get a buck from the federal government, then so be it. But you? No. I mean, so what?
Yeah. All right, finally, a report indicates that 1 in 5 troops returning from Iraq and Afghanistan has a serious case of post-traumatic stress disorder.
This is... that's about 300,000 or so. This is what everybody should be focused on the non-veteran supporting guy like John McCain. He refuses to sponsor the GI Bill because his weird view is that, if you give them a good GI Bill, they'll want to get out.
Yeah.
How about if somebody who gets out because they have to get out, like they have, are missing a leg? Because, Peter, if you're missing a leg, you don't get any different GI Bill as if you're completely healthy, put that in quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's stupid and it's ridiculous, and it just shows his true colors, that he's just a cheap you-know-what.
Well, and this comes from the RAND Corporation, hardly an opponent of the Pentagon. They claim 300,000 U.S. troops are suffering from major depression or PTSD. That's about 18.5% of those returning from the war zone. Thank you, Scott Dick. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
There were no public events on the Pope's schedule this afternoon. Now we know why. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
This had been rumored for days that Pope Benedict wanted to have a chance in private to meet with some victims of sex abuse by priests. A Vatican spokesman here in Washington announced that there was a meeting with a small group of victims so the Pope could offer them encouragement and say that he's praying for them. The Cardinal of Boston, Sean O'Malley, was also in that meeting after the outdoor mass in the new baseball stadium where the Pope said,
"No words of mine could describe the pain and harm inflicted by such abuse."
Dan Revive, CBS News at Nationals Park in Washington.
The meeting was held in the chapel at the Vatican Embassy. It wins praise from James Post of the reform group Voice of the Faithful.
Very important symbolic step.
He says Benedict is leading by example.
He is pointing the way for bishops to do the same thing, which is to meet with survivors and to not just engage with words, but actually with actions.
In his homily at Mass, the Pope called on parishioners to reach out to the victims of pedophile priests. Chaos in San Angelo, Texas, as a hearing opened on the fate of more than 400 children removed from a polygamist compound. CBS News correspondent Dan Ronan is there.
Minutes after the massive court proceeding got underway, it was interrupted so that some 350 lawyers could review the state's first piece of evidence, the medical records of some of the girls. Prosecutors are also asking for DNA samples from the mothers and children, as well as psychiatric evaluations. The hearing is likely to continue for days.
A new study by the Rand Corporation says one in five combat veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan suffers major depression or post-traumatic stress. But very few, reports CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier, seek help.
The problem is the stigma. There are many old-fashioned military commanders, not just in the Army, but in the Marines as well, who believe that post-traumatic stress disorder doesn't exist. When they see someone drinking or using drugs or going AWOL, they say that person is just trying to use the PTSD diagnosis to get away with it.
The Senate, voting 63-29, has asked for an investigation of a multi-million dollar project that was slipped into a highway bill. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Congress has never asked the Justice Department to investigate one of its earmarks before, but this one looks pretty shady. Alaska Republican Congressman Don Young wanted $10 million in a highway bill to build a new interchange in Florida. The local government didn't want it, but a real estate developer who'd contributed to Young's campaign did. What makes this a potentially criminal case is the earmark wasn't specified in the bill that passed Congress. Young's staff now acknowledges they, quote, corrected the language after it passed and before the president signed it. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Dow gained 1 point today. This is CBS News.
Have you ever wanted to own a Mercedes-Benz but felt that it was out of reach? Well, you're in luck, because right now Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned event with special financing on a wide selection of exceptional pre-owned vehicles like the Agile C-Class, the legendary E-Class, the sturdy M-Class, and the spacious R-Class. The Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned event now through April 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance.
Are we into the Olympics? Are you kidding? This is America. We high-five after meetings. We cheer when delayed planes land. So you better believe we're going to go nuts for our Olympic athletes. At AmericasCheer.com, hosted by Bank of America, you can send videos, photos, and texts directly to our Olympic team. Let them know you're out there. AmericasCheer.com. If you cheer, they'll hear. This is America. Don't you belong at Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity.
Member FDIC.
It was thought to be extinct in the wild, but the Swinhoe turtle was written off too soon. Researchers have found one in Southeast Asia. CBS News correspondent Jim Taylor has the story.
There are only four of these magnificent giant soft-shell turtles known to exist. Three in zoos in Asia, and now at least one more living in a lake in northern Vietnam.
We're very excited to announce the discovery of the only known wild-living Swinhoe soft-shell turtle.
Big deal for scientists like Cleveland Metro Park Zoo curator Jeff Hall, even bigger for the Vietnamese.
This animal is almost mythical. That people have been looking for it for such a long time, and unfortunately they are probably the most critically endangered turtle on the planet.
Says it's like a Loch Ness monster that's finally been spotted. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
A rare human birth. A woman in Towson, Maryland had quadruplet boys, three of them identical. Hospital officials say there are fewer than 100 documented cases of identical triplets plus one in the United States. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your valve stem cover.
Thank you. No cameras.
No, wait,
applause.
Hold on. You're a what?
A valve stem cover.
A valve stem
cover? Yeah, I cover the valve stems on your tires.
Oh.
Ah, I know your tires inside and out. Mostly out.
Well, thanks, but I'll ask my Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer about tire inflation, rotation, special offer.
Fine, then I'll just keep doing what I do best.
And that is?
Covering valve stems.
Right.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
I was diagnosed with diabetes. My doctor was a huge help. But I was still anxious, and I found myself wanting even more information.
Only Aetna members have access to Aetna Navigator, a secure online resource that enables members to check the status of their claims and provides information on everything from wellness to diabetes, as well as procedure costs and hospital quality ratings.
Now I feel like I'm in control of my diabetes, instead of it controlling me.
We want you to know. Aetna. To learn more, go to Aetna.com.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. Health insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yes, we originate in San Francisco, epicenter of elitism, condescension, and bitterness. We've got a lot to talk about. My lines are open for the free speech zone this hour. We're going to talk to Melanie Sloan first and then get your comments on Wednesday night's ABC television debate between Obama and Clinton from Philadelphia. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. Melanie Sloan is Executive Director of CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And they've got work going on a lot of fronts, including trying to rein in earmarks. Let's head over to Coconut Grove. Can I have a mojito, please?
It's really true, nothing matters. No mad, mad world and no mad hatters. No one's pitching because there ain't no batters in Coconut Grove. Don't bar the door, there's no one coming. The ocean's roar will dull the drumming of any city thoughts or city ways.
John Sebastian, the Lovin' Spoonful guy.
The ocean breeze is cool, my mind. The salty days are hers and mine, just to do water.
Coconut Grove's a lovely area just outside Miami. They're on Biscayne Bay. And would you think that a congressman from, Alaska might have an interest in providing some pork barrel funding for a road in Florida? Melanie Sloan, welcome to our program.
Hi, Peter. Nice to be back.
It's great to talk with you. So what's up with this? Don Young is a congressman from Alaska, and along with Ted Stevens, they do a lot of earmarking there. But what was his interest in a developer's project in Florida?
Oh, well, his interest was about $40,000 in campaign contributions, as is so often the case. A developer in Florida named Daniel Aronoff held a fundraiser that brought in $40,000 for Mr. Young's campaign. And while we talk about earmarks all the time, this one was a little more unusual than usual, because this was a highway bill in 2005, and it had already passed. So it was already on its way to the president, and suddenly, in that period after it passed the House and Senate, suddenly this new earmark was added in before it hit the president's desk, creating money for an interchange on Coconut Road.
Mm-hmm.
And this was not asked for by anybody in Florida. The people in the Lee County Metropolitan Planning Organization, which was the area around which where the road was going to be built, didn't want it. They wanted money for something else. And, you know, more happened after this. There was the Lee County Planning Commission said, hey, we're not going to do this. And then Don Young actually threatened to pull. They wanted to spend the money on other Florida improvements. Don Young threatened to pull all the money if they did, and not just pull that money, but said they would never get another earmark again if they didn't spend it like he ordered them to in this bill. This has been controversial for several years now. And really, it's only because James Coburn, the very right-wing senator from Oklahoma, who also just happens to hate earmarks beyond all things, he's the one who's been insisting on an investigation, because this has been, this pops up in the press periodically over the past 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But Coburn has been very insistent. I'm sorry, it's not James, it's Tom Coburn, and
yeah.
He has finally, on a new highway bill that was going through today, he insisted that he wanted a provision that would that said that there would be a bicameral House and Senate investigation of this earmark. Up until basically yesterday, Don Young was denying that he had anything to do with this earmark, tried to blame it on Connie Mack, a member of Congress from Florida, who denied that he had anything to do with it. Well, finally, Don Young says, yes, he had something to do with it, but it was because he was asked to do it by Florida. Florida state officials, not, in fact, by a Florida real estate developer.
Now, I may be reaching here, but did Jack Abramoff plan to bring a cruise ship dock up there on the Coconut Road interchange?
You know, Don Young, it's interesting enough, is in fact involved in four separate criminal investigations right now. I mean, this is a guy who is going to see himself indicted in one way or another sooner or later. And one of the investigations that he is a part of is the Jack Abramoff investigation, but this, in fact, doesn't have anything to do with Abramoff. This
okay.
just has to do with Don Young being corrupt. And, you know, these Alaska legislators who have been in for so long, they really seem to think there is just nothing they can't get away with, Don Young being a prime example of that. Well, now they're finally, today there was a vote on the floor, and Barbara Boxer introduced an amendment to say, no, we won't do this House-Senate investigation. We're going to refer this matter over to the Justice Department for investigation.
Oh, great.
Which, you know, sounds good. But first, you know, the House would have to vote on that as well, and it's not very likely the House is going to vote to send this over to Justice for an investigation. And even more importantly than that, something that you and I have talked about several times on your show is the speech or debate clause gets in the way here.
Mm-hmm.
Speech or debate clause says that legislative material can't be introduced against a member of Congress to prosecute him for a crime. Well, an earmark is, in fact, a piece of legislation. It was something that was put in a highway bill, so the fact that this earmark was put into a bill can never be introduced as evidence, not to a grand jury and not to a jury in a criminal trial. So it would be very hard to see how the Department of Justice actually could investigate Don Young, particularly given the fact that the House has taken a very aggressive view of the speech or debate clause and has used it, in fact, in the past to say the Justice Department couldn't even talk to an Appropriations Committee staffer who once worked for Jerry Lewis, who's also under criminal investigation. The House moved to quash that subpoena. So the House would obviously take the exact same tactic should anybody try to talk to, say, Don Young staffers. They'd move to quash the subpoena. So the Senate here is moving for an investigation, and the House will be thwarting the investigation in the same way.
And, Melanie, we recently spoke about the Supreme Court ruling that favored Bill Jefferson from Louisiana, the guy who's under investigation for the cash in his freezer and other potential ethical violations. And that revolved around the speech and debate clause and the FBI's raid of Jefferson's office in the Capitol on a Saturday night. And the ruling was that speech and debate clause does protect them. So Senator Boxer, who, you know, in my book is a pretty good senator, and I'm a little surprised to hear that she would move to protect earmarks by this effort, which on the face of it appears to be transparent. Oh, yeah, let's investigate this. But as you point out, it is sending it to a point of investigation where it will die.
Yes, well, you know, sadly, I think this is something we come back to again and again, that the Republicans and the Democrats don't differ all that much when it comes to ethics. They will protect their own, and they want the American public to think they're moving on ethics, to think they've got it covered, to think that they're going to do something, but then they do something like this, which is to send it over to the Justice Department, who they know perfectly well won't be able to do anything with it, and then say, well, oops, we tried.
Yeah. And it appears that Speaker Pelosi has given up on any attempt to reform earmark such as it is. I wanted to call it a process, but it's such a mess, and it's subject to all these, let me drop this in on the way to the White House. Let me drop it in on the way out of the conference committee. And it was astounding in the State of the Union message to hear the president, who has, abrogated the intent of Congress with over 750 signing statements, lecture the Congress Congress on living by the rules and not sending him earmarks that, you know, weren't properly passed through committees and actually voted on.
Frankly, no one has credibility on this issue. I mean, the president didn't have any problem with any earmarks throughout the entire years of Republican rule, and the Republicans were the ones who came up with the massive explosion of earmarks in the first place. It was really under them that we saw earmarks increase over 100%. So there's really just, when the Republicans are talking now, oh, we need earmark reform, they're just laughable. And listening to Minority Leader John Boehner talk about this is just, you know, it's really hard to swallow. And the president lecturing the House is also hard to swallow. Yet the Democrats, they also came in saying they were going to reform. But what they didn't think so much at the time when they were saying we were going to reform is once they won and they had the power to give the earmarks and get all the campaign contributions, well, now that they're in that position, they don't think reform is all that great. So they want to be able to say to the people, we're reforming it like we promised we would, without actually having to suffer the consequences of real reform.
Melanie Sloan with us from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. You need to go to their website to view a report that we're going to talk about next year that's just been published this week by CREW. And the website is citizensforethics.org. The report is called Record Chaos, and there's no good news in here. What you're talking about is the laws that require various government agencies, including the White House, to preserve documents and to make them available under the Freedom of Information Act, but this is a scathing report, Melanie, that says that it's just a huge mess and that there's no oversight, and it appears that nobody is really enforcing the law on these matters.
Yes, this is a huge mess. There's something called the Federal Records Act that requires federal agencies to be saving all of their records. But basically, the laws haven't kept up with the technology. And while technology has changed and most records are now electronic, the system that most agencies are using to preserve records is really print and throw it in the file and save it. And that's resulting in a lot of deleted records, things that are just not being saved, not just so that litigants like CREW can come in and get them under the Freedom of Information Act, but so that, frankly, historians will be able to look at them 20 years from now. Future generations are losing this material. CREW undertook a very long-time effort to find out exactly the scope of this problem. We submitted Freedom of Information Act requests to a bunch of agencies to find out about their record-keeping policies, and we actually also had an online survey where federal record-keeping managers at agencies could respond and give us answers about how their agencies manage records, and it was really kind of depressing stuff. Although the Federal Records Act requires all of this material to be preserved, and the agency that's responsible for it, the National Archives, it's responsible for giving the software out and giving standards for how records should be preserved. Nobody's doing it. The agencies aren't preserving anything, and NARA, the National Archives, isn't doing anything to tell people how they should be following with the law.
And Melanie, in your recommendations, your number three is to add penalties for noncompliance, which suggests that that currently the law can be flouted without any consequences.
Right. There's a three-year penalty right now if you deliberately destroy documents. But for just not trying to preserve them, for just not complying with the law in general, there's just no, and you have to be destroying them, you know, in knowing that there's litigation or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for just not trying to comply, knowing that there's the Federal Records Act, but thinking it's too much trouble, there's really nothing to, no penalty at all for that.
Very interesting. Read the report at citizensforethics.org. Melanie Sloan from CREW, thanks for your work.
Always a pleasure, Peter.
Talk to you soon. Coming up next, we open up the phone lines. I want to hear your reaction to the Stephanopoulos-Gibson-Clinton-Obama debate in Philadelphia Wednesday night. I've got comments. I want to hear yours. Lines open now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Let me know what you think. Next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
AllEtronic.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong. Everybody,
AllEtronic.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong.
AllEtronic.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we do have an accident coming in for Scotts Valley. Northbound 17 after Granite Creek Road, two cars, they're both off to the right-hand shoulder, and CHP is on the scene. Getting calls on an accident in Monterey, westbound 68 at York Road, three cars, and reportedly that's blocking lanes. Monterey Police Department should be on the scene with that. For Interlaken, an accident that happened about an hour ago, Casserly Road north of Diaz Lane, a vehicle knocked down a power pole and some power lines. PG&E crews on the scene now, working to upright all that stuff, but they're saying the roadway may be shut down there until about 6:30. Be prepared for possible delays there. And this is brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, head to Van Heusen Week at the men's store inside JCPenney. JCPenney is the smart place to shop for great selection and the lowest prices of the season on all things Van Heusen. JCPenney. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. Greetings to our weekend listeners in Portland and Seattle and our late-night listeners in San Francisco. You can't call in, but you can email Peter at peterbcollins.com. Yeah, it's 2 a.m. Would somebody get the phone, please? So I am still recovering in many ways from the shock of watching Wednesday night's televised debate from Philadelphia on ABC. This was the first time ABC got the rights to a Democratic debate, and they assigned Charles Gibson, who is their main anchor, and George Stephanopoulos, their equivalent of Tim Russert, to co-anchor. And it was ugly. It really was. We were able to bring you most of the first hour here on our program, just the audio feed. And it was one stupid gotcha question after another. And I wanted, as you know, to hear about the FISA law. I wanted to hear about ABC's exclusive reports on the committee that approved torture in the White House. Charlie Gibson was the anchor who presented those reports last Thursday and Friday, but he had some sort of amnesia that caused him to think only of Jeremiah Wright. And then we had the planted question, and this is so insidious. Follow me now. Sean Hannity and a local radio conservative host in New York both talked to George Stephanopoulos in the 48 hours before the Philadelphia debate and urged him to ask a question about Obama's connection to William Ayers, who lives in Chicago and was a member of the Weather Underground. And we mentioned at the top of the show that Brian Urban, who is answering the phone here and taking your calls, his family has known the Ayers family for 40 years. So when that popped up, I had kind of a special interest. And it is so damn irrelevant. It is a McCarthy tactic. As Obama pointed out, he was 8 years old when Bill Ayers was in the Weather Underground. And he was hardly slanging bombs and committing terrorist acts as an 8-year-old. And this came out of Rush Limbaugh's plan to meddle in the Democratic primary and to keep Hillary Clinton's campaign alive as long as possible. If not, have her win the nomination because she's the candidate the Republicans want to face in the fall. She's the candidate who will unite the Republican Party around John McCain. Jake and Eureka, welcome.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
I'm a little bummed.
Well, I understand. Yeah, I think you should have Brian on the air to ask him some questions about his connection to the Weather Underground. That journalism has sunk to in this country.
Well, I've actually already turned him into Homeland Security, and they'll be he won't go home tonight.
You know, I don't think any of us should be surprised that, you know, ABC News, owned by the Disney Corporation, would send that Clintonista George Snuffleupagus out there to ask, you know, Barack Obama a bunch of Mickey Mouse questions. I mean, apparently they didn't even get to any real issues until about an hour into the debate.
Well, and very late, I think it was Gibson who kind of apologized and said, well, this is a one-minute answer. What about gasoline prices? You know, and nothing was brought up about the Colombian trade deal, Mark Penn being paid by the Colombians, the communications director Wilson, Howard Wilson, gets his company gets money from the Colombians. Bill Clinton got $800,000 in speaking fees to support the Colombians. Be a Free Trade Act. Not a word of that.
Yeah, you know, I think ABC, that network now stands for, you know, anybody but Bush or Clinton. I mean, they clearly are pro-Clinton in this race, the corporate media and the Republicans. Let's all be, you know, really blunt about what's taking place. But I think it's going to backfire because I think in the end, the American public is going to vote against John McCain just despite the media, and I think what's going on now is they're shooting all their ammunition 6 months before the general election and in the hope they can stop Barack Obama from becoming the Democratic nominee. Well, guess what? Brock will be the nominee, and by the time this rolls around in November, he's going to win in a landslide, Peter B.
Yeah. It was interesting because they said that they would try to even out the time so each candidate got about the same amount of time to speak, but they kept hammering Obama, and he had to respond, and yes, he did come off as a little defensive there. But there were two points where Charles Gibson turned to Hillary Clinton and said, well, we owe you some time. Would you like to talk now or after the break? I mean, they were deferring to her on who controlled the conduct of the debate. I've never seen anything like it. Jake, thanks.
I think Charlie Gibson thinks that he's dealing with Princess Diana instead of Hillary Clinton.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate your call. More calls coming up next. Tell me what you think about Obama and Clinton and the ABC debate. 888-5-PETER-B. Get on the line. We'll talk to you next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless.
KRXA 540. think for yourself.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Free Speech Zone available to you right now. 888-5-PETER-B. Santa Cruz, haven't heard from you today. Arcata, get on the line now. 888-5-PETER-B.
The Bloodwood. The desert oak, holding wrecks and violent dissolves, steam and 45 degrees.
The time has come to say farewell, to pay the rent, to pay our share. The time has come.
Let's give it back.
Let's give it back.
Those are of the oils from Australia. Beds are burning. Midnight Oil, they're called. Peter Garrett, the front man, now a member of the administration there, the Prime Minister's team, way down under. The Peter B. Collins Show is sponsored by Polly Point Press and John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising, all about Reverend Moon and that wacky Washington Times propaganda machine. Visit thekingofamerica.com and watch the video. It's kind of funny and kind of twisted. Thekingofamerica.com. Get the latest on Reverend Moon and his good friends in the Bush crime family. Don and Eureka, you're next in the free speech zone. This is Peter B. Welcome.
Peter B.
Yes, sir.
Did you happen to see the correspondence dinner last night?
No, I didn't. I didn't know it was on. I was busy watching a debate.
It was on the same time as the debate was.
Okay. And then there was the
over there.
There was
I
the
recommend
Pope.
It highly. It's, yeah. I'm sure you can get it on C-SPAN.
Right.
Get the drop from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the little comedy skit by Mr. Cheney 100 times on TV today, but they didn't show any of Mo Rocca because Mo was talking about the little TNA show that they got on Fox News thanks to Roger Ailes.
Right.
And that didn't go, I mean, it was interesting to watch the crowd's reaction. And then he let into Dick Cheney, and Dick Cheney, he got that real mean look on his face. And
like he was going to send Mo Rocca to Gitmo?
And Mo Rocca has not been on any of the TV shows today. Only the Cheney clip has been on TV today.
Really?
And not the Mo Rocca clip.
Well, here's something interesting, and if I have a little time, and I may later in this half hour, there's a clip posted at thinkprogress.org, and it says that, let's see, they showed Dick Cheney's speech to the correspondents' dinner on Fox, and then Frank Luntz, the pollster, asked the group if they agreed that Cheney had a good sense of humor, and one of the guys in the focus group called Cheney a clown. Luntz then demanded to know who said it and pretended to give out the man's social security number as if in retaliation for criticizing the vice president.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, thanks.
Just another thought, and then I'll go. What do you think of the name Tuss Limbaugh, Private Tuss Limbaugh, in honor of his military service?
Well, and you're also referring to the boil that they lanced on his
That's
butt.
That's exactly what the Private Tuss Limbaugh is what I've been referring to him as lately.
All right. I'm going to give you authorization to use that name, and you own it.
All right.
Thank you, Don.
Thanks for what you do.
Okay, good to hear from you in Eureka today. 888-5-PETER-B. We'll take more calls in just a moment. But first, there's news on the internet that you can't get nowhere else.
.com.
I direct you to the website ptsd1.blogspot.com. And that's where you get the exceptional reporting of R.J. Schulman, the owner, proprietor, citizen journalist, and the guy who has to change the ink cartridges, too, at the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch. R.J., how are you today?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you doing this week?
I'm kind of bummed out. I just am so angry at George Stephanopoulos and Charlie Gibson for the way they conducted that debate Wednesday night. It was really offensive to me.
I know a lot of people were offended by it, but we actually found out that at Fox TV they were offended by it for a different reason.
Yeah, I see your lead story right now at ptsd1.blogspot.com, and it reads, Fox News lamented today that ABC's Charlie Gibson and George Stephanopoulos threw softball questions at Senators Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Quote, it was a freaking come-by-y'all love fest, said Britt Hume. I can't believe talk was wasted on the economy and the war when Americans really needed to know whether Reverend Wright was wearing a flag lapel pin when he made that hateful sermon. Americans also want to know just how bitter that radical weatherman Bill Ayers was in the 60s. And speaking of weathermen, whether Al Roker is bitter because he hasn't lost as much weight as he wanted to. Wow, that's the Fox perspective.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they were really angry that other questions weren't asked, such as Sean Hannity said that this question was really important. Who would have a better chance of defeating John McCain in November, Paris Hilton or Britney Spears?
Well, but Sean has to feel satisfied that he was able to feed that question about Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground to George Stephanopoulos, and Stephanopoulos, the stenographer, just delivered it as given.
I know. I think that was really a shame. It's just really interesting, though, that some people think that those are the kind of things that really matter to Americans and matter to our pocketbooks and matter to us when we go to the gas pump and pay $4 a gallon for gas.
Yeah. Well, and you have a quote here from Laura Ingraham. The most important issue of this campaign was completely ignored by ABC's liberal commentators. They didn't ask Obama when his wife Michelle stopped hating America.
Right. That's exactly right.
Now, what about Bill O'Reilly? Did he weigh in and offer a critique on ABC's debate?
Oh, he always does. He said he would have asked Hillary, quote, what was the first thing she said to her husband, Bill, after she found out about that blue dress, and whether she believed that the infamous blue dress made Monica Lewinsky look fat, or was it just that Monica was fat?
Yeah, I mean, they've got their priorities right over there at Fox News. Now, we're also treated to this historic visit by the Pope and his Popemobile. It's all over the news. My TiVo made an error yesterday, and instead of getting the news hour from PBS, I got MSNBC's gushing coverage of a mass and sermon given by Pope Benedict. I watched a little, but his German accent really puts you off. I don't know about you, RJ.
Well, it might be all of those World War II movies that we saw that you hear that accent and you know, it makes you think of another time and another place when that was a very unpleasant way to speak.
Mm-hmm. But Bush had tried to enlist him in a war effort?
Yeah, what Bush did was he was very concerned about this war on Christmas, and he wanted the Pope to weigh in and actually be part of a surge to fight back this war on Christmas.
Wow. And what did the Pope say?
Well, the Pope just politely basically turned the other cheek and said no.
Now, you also have a story, Dateline Dubai, that the splurge is working. Please explain.
Yeah, that's a quote from the CEO of Halliburton. His name is David Lazar, and their new office, of course, moved to Dubai. And he basically was saying that, you know, the bottom line in the Iraqi operation is, frankly, our bottom line. And so he was saying the splurge has been working.
Wow. It's amazing because, you know, I was sucked into all this surge talk, and I didn't realize that the surge would lead to a splurge for the sweetheart contractors.
Well, that's exactly what's happened.
Wow. Well, this is fascinating stuff. This is the news you can't get from the corporate media. RJ, thank you for your update today.
You're welcome, Peter. Have a great week.
Okay, thanks. RJ Schulman, and again, the website, you can read it for yourself. You may be shaking your head right now, but read it for yourself. PTSD. One, that's the number one, .blogspot.com. That's the Post Times Sun Dispatch. And we have an anonymous caller on the line. Welcome to the program. Hi, this is Peter B.
Well, thank you very much, Peter B. It's a pleasure.
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I'm calling about the Caltrans projects being put in Del Norte County, inviting STAA trucks to come in through Del Norte County, and the project down in Lower Humboldt, which will be inviting STAA trucks coming up from the south.
Now, what is an STAA truck? Help me out.
That's a Surface Transportation Authorization Act put in through Congress back in the early 80s, which was interestingly to help support the recession in those times to put in transportation dollars to get money into the communities. The interesting thing that I want the listeners to know about is that growth-inducing aspects of having large STA trucks coming into the counties here is something that we need to be writing our representatives and working towards having a voice about.
All right. And what is the issue? Are these trucks oversized? Do they do more damage to the roadway? What's the issue?
Well, of course, that is an issue, but Caltrans has special monies for road maintenance. It's the problem here is that we're looking at the port being deepened. It's been always an issue. Well, if there's no railroad up here, then we can't have a deeper port. Well, the darker issue is that once you have the STAA routes approved, that means that the port can be deepened. Now, Bush has got something called short sea shipping, and short sea shipping is container ships coming in. So people that like Humboldt County the way it is and how beautiful it is, it will now have these massive boats coming in with containers, and then our transportation corridors become nationalized. You also have hazardous waste being able to be put through on roads that are nationalized.
All
They're
right.
currently not nationalized.
So what can we do about this, and what are you recommending?
Well, tonight there is a public meeting at the Hampton Inn up in Crescent City from 4:30 to 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
And also in, well, we're not sure. I think it's going to be May 14th down in Fortuna. There's going to be a public meeting to talk about the Richardson Grove, where they're going to be chopping down some large old growth.
Okay.
So,
you want to encourage people to attend these public meetings, and what point of view would you offer? You're opposed to these STAA trucks?
Well, yes, there is a large community of people that are opposed to it. It's just getting it on the radar of people so they understand that we'll have much more development up here. We have only 2-4% growth up here, whereas the rest of the state doesn't. So if you're concerned in keeping the values of the gorgeous Redwood Curtain intact, then I would suggest these people get involved. People up in Crescent City, go to that meeting and have your voice heard. Have the public process listened to. And if you support having massive growth in large industries and container ships coming in through the port, you know, we're a day shorter from Asia than we are from
Long Beach.
Long Beach, Oakland, and the ports in Washington. We're a day shorter. Now, when you consider that all goods are manufactured on a process of, you know, how you order it, it gets made and it gets shipped. If we're only 8 hours away from the corridor over there on Highway 5, if we're a day shorter, that's a significant savings for someone who has a product coming in on a boat and they want to get it over to the main corridor to get it up to wherever it's been ordered from.
All right. Well, thanks for bringing this to our attention. This is the first I've heard of it. If you'd like to drop me an email with more details on this or some of the upcoming meetings, we'll try to follow this. And my email is peter@peterbcollins.com.
I'd encourage other callers to call in about it because we want to know who else has this on their radar.
All right. Thank you very much. Undisclosed name. And perhaps I misspoke by calling this person sir. If so, I apologize. I don't know your name, and honestly, I don't know your gender. We're going to take a break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You want to join me? My lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Grab a podcast, share it with a friend. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we do have an accident coming in for Scotts Valley. Northbound 17 after Granite Creek Road, two cars, they're both off to the right-hand shoulder, and CHP is on the scene. Getting calls on an accident in Monterey, westbound 68 at York Road, three cars, and reportedly that's blocking lanes. Monterey Police Department should be on the scene with that. For Interlaken, an accident that happened about an hour ago, Casserly Road north of Diaz Lane, a vehicle knocked down a power pole and some power lines. PG&E crews on the scene now, working to upright all that stuff, but there's saying the roadway may be shut down there until about 6:30. Be prepared for possible delays there. And this is brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, head to Van Heusen Week at the men's store inside JCPenney. JCPenney is the smart place to shop for great selection and the lowest prices of the season on all things Van Heusen. JCPenney. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Barack Obama for America, Barack Obama for America. His wisdom, courage, and integrity will give us peace and strong prosperity. Our people need a new direction, security and health protection. With global warming creeping upon us, we need a president that we can trust. Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America.
America needs Barack Obama. I'm Joan Hopkins, and I wrote this song. Help us play it on radio stations across the country. Go to deltawavepress.com or call me at 831-659-2086 to help America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. I got a line open if you want to call me at 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free, 888-573-8372. And as we mentioned a few minutes back, I have this clip I'm going to play for you. It's from the Radio and Television Correspondents' Dinner on Wednesday night, and this is where somebody had the bad form to claim that Dick Cheney is a clown. And Frank Luntz, the Republican pollster, came running to his defense.
To our friend Frank Luntz.
So, first of all, this is a Sean Hannity clip from the Fox News Channel, and they break into discussion of the Democratic debate where Sean Hannity's question was planted with George Stephanopoulos to bring us this Cheney moment.
He's standing by with a group of undecided voters in the great state of Pennsylvania. First of all, did they like the speech? Before my first question, Frank.
Okay, let's find out. Did you like it? Does Dick Cheney have a good sense of humor? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so you give him credit for that. Who said that? Who said?
Now the line appears to be he's been working with a clown for 8 years.
What did he say?
John just said he's been a clown for 8 years. John's Social Security number's 06.
Oh, so it was a joke. That wasn't as heavy-handed as I thought. I was hoping we were going to get some humor from Dick Cheney, such as it is. But all right, well, that's a little bit of a letdown, but there you have it. You can find that at thinkprogress.org if you are so inclined. And just a couple more comments on the ABC television debate from Philadelphia. What was stunning is that clearly Barack Obama is the front runner. He has not clinched the nomination, and I want to be very clear about that. And it's not clear, it's not easy to see that at the end of these primaries that Obama will actually have enough to just clinch the nomination. He will probably be well in the lead by more than 100 delegates, no matter what happens in Pennsylvania next Tuesday. But as the front runner, he was subjected to a series of gotcha questions. And each time, he tried to take the question head on and then say, "This is ridiculous. The American people want to know about the high price of gas, the war in Iraq, and numerous other issues." And despite that, throughout most of the first hour of the debate, Stephanopoulos and Gibson kept coming back to their prepared gotcha questions, including the one planted about the Weather Underground's Bill Ayers, planted by Sean Hannity. And this is a hell of a way to conduct these events. There used to be the League of Women Voters who would sponsor the debates and essentially force the networks to be on their best behavior. And often the League of Women Voters would either screen the questions or collect them. And they would do things to really try to create a, I don't want to say fair and balanced, God, those words are so loaded now, a fair presentation that is not to disadvantage either candidate and that is aimed at the public, not at the egos of the anchors or even the egos of the candidates. And during this period, they did bang Hillary Clinton, that's a poor choice of words, they dinged Hillary Clinton once over the Tuzla remarks, and she went on for quite a lengthy answer and apologized to a viewer. She said, "I may be a lot of things, but I'm not dumb." And she says to the viewer, "You're right. On a couple of occasions in the last weeks, I just said some things that weren't in keeping with what I knew to be the case and what I had written. I'm embarrassed by it. I've apologized for it. I've said it was a mistake. And it is, I hope, something you can look over." She, I think, wanted to say overlook, but she actually said look over. She went on, "I'm proud I went to Bosnia. Wes Clark is here. There were safety concerns," and on and on. So she did apologize for that, and I acknowledge it. But she, and also Obama was very much attempting to take the high road, and when he was asked about the Tuzla thing, he said, "Well, you know, I haven't commented on that." And they shot back, "Well, your campaign has." And he said, "Yeah, they were asked. But I haven't commented on it." And he, in another occasion, he allowed his house, Senator Clinton is entitled to make mistakes, and acknowledged that he makes mistakes sometimes too. But Hillary Clinton was not so forgiving, not so magnanimous, not so much taking the high road. And so when the inevitable questions about Reverend Wright came up, Hillary said, and I'm reading from my notes here, "There are so many different variations of the explanations we heard. This deserves further exploration." Then she talked about how she wants to bring people together, overcome the anger and whatever bitterness there may be out there. And then she says, "Well, we have to look at relationships." And she brings up Louis Farrakhan and that at the Trinity Church in Chicago, Reverend Wright's church, that at one point he allowed the leader of Hamas to publish a statement in the church bulletin. Now, that's free speech. Is she saying that that's inappropriate? I think she did. And so it really was sad to me that this, which appears to be the last debate between these two candidates, was conducted on such a low level. And that so many important issues, now I'll just mention it one more time, that ABC had some ownership in the story about the committee that approved torture in the White House and the president's approval of the work of that committee. Charlie Gibson delivered that report a week ago, Thursday and Friday. But he didn't have time to mention that. Because it wasn't a gotcha question. It was one of the most important issues confronting our nation and our future, and whether we will resume living under constitutional rule. ABC, I don't know. They've earned our contempt, and you can express that in any way you like. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am much obliged.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. This might turn out to be the most memorable day of Pope Benedict's U.S. visit. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv is following developments.
I wish to make a special appeal.
One of the Pope's last events here in Washington, a speech on education, urging priests to be teachers.
Renew your commitment to schools, especially those in poorer areas.
Just after his Vatican spokesman revealed that Pope Benedict had a private meeting with five Catholics who'd been abused as children by priests. They're from Boston. The Pope told them he's praying for them. And in public, at a morning mass in the new baseball stadium, Benedict told 46,000 worshipers the pain and harm are beyond words. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
One of the participants in the private meeting at the Vatican Embassy was Bernie McDade. He talked to NPR News about the experience.
It was like something I'd been waiting over 7 years for, and I couldn't help tears come in my eyes. It was just really a moment I wasn't ready for.
The Pope's outreach gets qualified praise from victim support groups. David Clossy of the Survivors Network calls it a small positive step on a long, long road.
The talk is good. Face-to-face meeting is better. Real reform is, of course, best of all, and that's what we certainly hope this meeting will lead to.
Tomorrow, Pope Benedict travels to New York, where he'll address the United Nations. Hundreds of lawyers descended on a courthouse in San Angelo, Texas, for a hearing on the children seized from the Yearning for Zion polygamist compound. Officials say the kids were physically and sexually abused and should be placed in foster homes. Rodney Parker, a spokesman for the family, says the state is overreaching.
If there's one instance of sexual abuse in a community, do you take away the children of the entire community?
The hearing quickly got bogged down in attorneys' objections, but one welfare investigator testified that there seemed to be a pattern of underage girls forced to marry older men. A report out today says roughly one in five veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan suffer from major depression or post-traumatic stress disorder, but only about half have sought treatment, and some who did ask for help didn't get it. CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier has one man's story.
22-year-old combat medic Jonathan Norrell volunteered for every mission.